Gun laws continue to tighten up across the country. Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Got a ton to get to this hour. A little bit later on in the hour, I'll give you the update from Israel, where the rockets are a-fallen, and the Europeans are condemning the Jews, as per the usual arrangement. We will also be getting to the 2020 Democrats. They are extraordinarily weak, which, of course, is why they are focusing in on impeachment. The Democrats have brought forth another witness, Marie Yovanovitch. She was the ambassador to Ukraine. There's one problem. She was fired before Trump withdrew aid from Ukraine. So why she is there, no one really understands, except that she is there to paint a picture of an alternative mechanism by which Trump foreign policy was being done. So there are serious complaints by Republicans, by conservatives, that what this whole impeachment thing really is about at root is not so much Trump quid pro quos and supposed bribery. What it really is about is a foreign policy establishment that was very angry that Trump had set up a back channel for foreign policy, that he wasn't actually doing foreign policy through his foreign policy team. The professionals were being ignored. Instead, he was formulating his Ukraine policy with the help of his personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, who was running around Ukraine talking with a variety of figures. And so by bringing forth Yovanovitch, what Democrats are really trying to do is put the target on the back of Rudy Giuliani and suggest that the foreign policy in Ukraine was being driven by Giuliani, not by America's national interest, because, of course, Giuliani is Trump's personal lawyer. That is indeed the strategy. But if this is really just about Democrats don't like how Trump conducts foreign policy, they don't like how he conducts his presidency because he doesn't go through the authorized mechanisms, well, then obviously that's really silly. That's really silly. Okay, so to go back to the beginning for just a moment, the Democrats, to recapitulate the charge that they are leveling against Trump, they have settled on the word bribery. And their suggestion is that President Trump was attempting to bribe Ukraine, and Ukraine was trying to bribe Trump in order so that Ukraine could receive foreign military aid that they so desperately needed in their fight against Russia, and so that Trump would receive dirt on Joe Biden. Right? That is the bribe that is being suggested. Nancy Pelosi has been the most frequent Democrat out there using the word bribery. You notice how they shifted from quid pro quo, which is a Latin term, which also quid pro quo isn't a criminal act. Bribery is a criminal act. So Nancy Pelosi says that Trump has already admitted bribery during that original June 25th phone call, which, of course, is not true. Here's Nancy Pelosi making that statement, however.
Bribery a second ago.
Yes, bribery.
That's a very serious charge.
It's in the Constitution. Quid pro quo. Bribery. Bribery. And that is in the Constitution attached to the impeachment proceedings.
So what was the bribe here?
The bribe is to grant or withhold military assistance in return for a public statement of a fake investigation into the elections. What I am saying, that what is the president has admitted to and says it's perfect, I said it's perfectly wrong. It's bribery.
Okay, so first of all, it is not, in fact, technically bribery. Laura Ingraham points out correctly, if a bit didactically, that the crime of attempted bribery is not in the Constitution. Nothing actually changed hands. The Ukrainians didn't do what Trump supposedly wanted them to do, and foreign aid was forthcoming anyway. And there's a point that Republicans have made. So if there's a bribe, there actually has to be a bribe. Attempted bribery could theoretically be a crime. However, that has not been proved either. So why are Democrats shifting from this language of quid pro quo to bribery? It turns out that for all of their talk about not being nonpartisan and trying to hammer down, you know, all of the criminality of the Trump administration, it turns out that really this is about poll testing. According to the Washington Post, several Democrats have stopped using the term quid pro quo, instead describing bribery as a more direct summation of Trump's alleged conduct. The shift came after the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee conducted focus groups in key House battlegrounds in recent weeks, testing messages related to impeachment. Among the questions put to participants was whether quid pro quo, extortion, or bribery was a more compelling description of Trump's conduct. According to two people familiar with the results, which circulated among Democrats this week, the focus groups found bribery to be most damning. The people spoke on the condition of anonymity because the results have not been made public. So they keep saying bribery. Why? Because they're poll testing it, which obviously means that we should take their protestations that this is not partisan in any way with a huge grain of salt. They're poll testing it in the battleground states. Which thing will hurt Trump the most? And people say bribery, and they're like, oh, well, I guess that this thing's bribery then. I guess this is bribery. Well, Trump has responded to these accusations. He says, like, really, you think I'm bribing Ukraine in order to go after Joe Biden? You think I need help to beat Sleepy Joe? Here was President Trump rallying in Louisiana yesterday for the governorship. That governor's race is very close, and so Trump was brought in to rally the base. Here he was talking about Joe Biden.
This just came out. Big story. New remarks from top Ukrainian official damages Democrats' impeachment narrative. Ukrainian foreign minister said on Thursday that the United States ambassador did not link financial military assistance to a request for Ukraine to open up an investigation into former vice president and current Democratic president. Can you believe? Like, we need help to beat Sleepy Joe Biden? I don't think so.
Okay, and the report that he is reading from is from a source called Interfax Ukraine, also being reported by Reuters. Ukraine's foreign minister, Vadim Pristaiko, said on Thursday that U.S. Ambassador Gordon Sondland did not explicitly link military aid to Kiev with opening an investigation into former Vice President Joe Biden and his son. Trump and his allies are accused by Democrats of doing just that. Trump, of course, has said that the inquiry is a witch hunt. Pristaiko said about Sondland, Gordon Sondland, the U.S. ambassador to the EU, quote, Ambassador Sondland did not tell us and certainly did not tell me about a connection between the assistance and the investigations. You should ask him. Pristaiko's comments came a day after William Taylor, the acting ambassador to Ukraine, testified in the first televised hearing of the impeachment inquiry. And Taylor had pointed to Trump's keen interest in getting the European ally to investigate Biden and reiterated his understanding that $391 million in U.S. security aid was withheld from Kiev unless it cooperated. Taylor also said that a member of his staff had overheard a July 26th phone call between Trump and Sondland in which the Republican president asked about investigations into the Bidens, and Sondland told him that the Ukrainians were ready to proceed. Pristaiko said, I have never seen a direct relationship between investigations and security assistance. Yes, the investigations were mentioned, you know, in the conversation of the president, but there was no clear connection between these events. So when Trump brings that out and he says, okay, even the Ukrainians are not claiming that there is an attempted bribe or a quid pro quo, well, that does carry some weight, obviously. Now, what Democrats are going to claim is, what do you think the Ukrainians are going to say? Of course, they're going to say what they need to say. Trump is the president. They want the aid to keep coming. And that is what the Democrats are going to claim. And it turns out that now it is being reported that a second State Department official overheard President Trump's call with the EU envoy discussing Ukraine and investigations. The Washington Post reports that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said on Thursday the testimony presented by two career diplomats during Wednesday's open impeachment hearing corroborated evidence of bribery. Meanwhile, it was learned on Thursday that a second official from the U.S. Embassy in Kiev was present when U.S. Ambassador to the EU, Gordon Sondland, spoke on a July 26th phone call from Ukraine with Trump that more directly ties the president to his administration's efforts to persuade Ukraine's new leadership. So we will find out if there was indeed a second phone call. Trump denied that there was a second phone call between him and Sondland. He says the only phone call he remembers having with Sondland was saying there was no quid pro quo all the way through. Bill Taylor says that he talked to an aide who talked to Sondland, who overheard Sondland, and Sondland was talking with Trump about the investigation. We'll see what comes out. As I've said all along, there are only a few witnesses who actually matter in this inquiry. Those witnesses are people who have a direct window into the mind of President Trump and his intentionality with regard to Joe Biden. Those people would be by name Rudy Giuliani, Mick Mulvaney, the chief of staff for the president of the United States. It would be Gordon Sondland, who's already slated to testify next Wednesday, so that will be the bombshell testimony. That's the testimony that, if you think any of this matters, actually matters. And perhaps John Bolton, although we don't know what conversations Bolton had directly with Trump about the issues in Ukraine. In the meantime, the Democrats are basically in a holding pattern. They're bringing forth all of these sort of ancillary witnesses to testify to things that we already know. So we already know that President Trump was getting advice on Ukraine from Rudy Giuliani. And we already know that he took Giuliani's words pretty seriously. He said so openly in that transcript, or quasi-transcript, of the July 25th phone call with Zelensky. So nothing new is here. So what Democrats are really trying to do today is they're bringing forth Marie Yovanovitch, who is the American ambassador to Ukraine. Trump fired her, and he had every ability to do so. But what they're trying to say is that Trump's foreign policy is driven by personal animus and by Rudy Giuliani's information. Okay, well, both of those things can be true, and that can still not be an impeachable offense. But the fact is that he did fire Yovanovitch pretty much before anything happened, right? He fired her before any of this discussion about withholding military aid took place. Yovanovitch was removed from her job pretty early on in the last year, right? It was not as though she was there for any of this. And that's what the Republicans are pointing out today. They're saying, like, why is this lady even being called? Also, Trump has the right to fire an ambassador for any reason. She works at the pleasure of the president. Even Adam Schiff had to acknowledge in his early morning hearing, he had to acknowledge that President Trump has the right to fire any ambassador that he wants. Clip 11.
Some have argued that a president has the ability to nominate or remove any ambassador he wants, that they serve at the pleasure of the president. And that is true.
Okay, so then why is she here? Why is she here? And here's Yovanovitch admitting, full scale, that President Trump has actually strengthened our policy toward Ukraine. So if the idea is that we weakened our policy toward Ukraine because he fired Yovanovitch, the evidence is simply not there. Here's Yovanovitch acknowledging that Trump strengthened America's policy against Russia by helping Ukraine with military aid.
The U.S. has provided significant security assistance since the onset of the war against Russia in 2014. And the Trump administration strengthened our policy by approving the provision to Ukraine of anti-tank missiles known as Javelins.
Okay, bottom line is that the idea that Yovanovitch has anything truly damning to say about Trump is wrong. She's never had a conversation with Trump. Right? She's never had anything really to say about Trump other than Rudy Giuliani is feeding Trump bad information, which puts, again, Giuliani in the crosshairs. You can see the media straining to try to explain why Yovanovitch is actually relevant to this inquiry. The best headline of the day comes from the Washington Post about all of this. We'll get to that in just one second. First, let's talk about an unfortunate eventuality in life. You will have to deal with the healthcare system. The reason you'll have to deal with the healthcare system is because everybody gets sick, everybody gets injured, everybody has to go to the doctor. But here's what you want when you go to the doctor. You want ease. You want your insurance to cover it. You don't want to have to deal with the government telling you when you can and cannot visit the doctor, which doctor you can go to. That's just not something you want to deal with, which is why the vast majority of Americans oppose Democrats' Medicare for All plans. But Democrats are pushing it anyway, and the people fighting back against it hardest are the folks over at FreedomWorks. My friends over at FreedomWorks are fighting to stop Nancy Pelosi and the left from trashing our healthcare system. If you want to join them, please text my name, Ben, to 52886. Again, text Ben, my name, to 52886. Sign their petition to stop the Democrats' socialistic healthcare takeover today. They'll also offer you all sorts of the action items. They're really doing hard work on behalf of American freedom. I'm encouraging you, my audience, to text Ben, my name, Ben, to 52886 and help FreedomWorks stop the Democrats' socialist healthcare takeover. It's critically important we get involved right now because the Democrats are pushing incredibly hard. Text my name, Ben, to 52886. Again, text Ben to 52886. Okay, so why are the Democrats even bringing forth Yovanovitch so that she can claim that President Trump is operating outside the normal channels of information using Rudy Giuliani, and Rudy Giuliani is funneling bad information to President Trump? Here's Yovanovitch testifying to that.
It is in America's national security interest to help Ukraine transform into a country where the rule of law governs and corruption is held in check. Unfortunately, as the past couple of months have underlined, not all Ukrainians embraced our anti-corruption work. What continues to amaze me is that they found Americans willing to partner with them, and working together, they apparently succeeded in orchestrating the removal of a U.S. ambassador. How could our system fail like this? How is it that foreign corrupt interests could manipulate our government? Which country's interests are served when the very corrupt behavior we have been criticizing is allowed to prevail?
Yovanovitch's testimony is not supremely relevant, which is why you end up with this idiotic headline from the Washington Post. For Trump, Yovanovitch's testimony brings moment of reckoning on gender. What the hell? I wasn't aware that it is an impeachable offense to fire a woman. I wasn't aware that that was actually an impeachable offense. Now, it may not be a good policy, but I'm like, what? A moment of reckoning on gender? It feels like the moment of reckoning on gender for President Trump came back in the 2016 election when there was tape that was revealed of him talking about grabbing women by the genitals, not firing the ambassador to Ukraine. But according to the Washington Post, during the pivotal phone call that sparked the House impeachment inquiry, President Trump made a reference to gender as he smeared former Ukraine Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch. The former ambassador from the United States, the woman, was bad news, Trump told Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky on July 25th. He was just trying to refer to, he didn't remember her name. Okay, and now they're trying to claim that he fired her because she was a woman. Wait, you're going to impeach him for what? Sexual harassment under Title IX or something? Like that, because he said the woman in a call with Zelensky? Trump then made an ominous prediction as he pressured Zelensky for investigations of his political rivals. She's going to go through some things, he said of the ambassador. Well, presumably, what he meant by that is that there was going to be information revealed about Yovanovitch. But the Washington Post says, as the leading female diplomat, the political target of the president's allies, and a figure at the center of the Ukraine drama, Yovanovitch has crucial knowledge to impart when she testifies at Friday's impeachment hearing. She also enters the spotlight as the latest woman who has refused to acquiesce to Trump in the face of personal and gender-specific attacks. Oh, my Lord. So really, the reason you're bringing out Yovanovitch is so you can claim that she's a woman victimized by Trump's patriarchal attitudes? Seriously? That's where you're going with this? The only thing that she's saying that actually matters in any of this is trying to put Giuliani in the crosshairs, saying that President Trump was getting info from Giuliani. We already knew that. We'll be back in just a second. But first, good blinds are to a home what a sharp tie is to a suit. It brings it all together. But you haven't thought about those window coverings, have you? Have you? Well, now you're thinking about them. So while you're thinking about them, why don't you just go over to Blinds.com and go get them taken care of? With 15 million windows covered, over 30,000 five-star customer reviews, Blinds.com is America's number one online retailer for affordable, quality, custom window coverings. Whether you're looking for energy efficiency, or you just moved, or you just want to refresh the look of your house, well, Blinds.com will make it really easy and really fast. Every order gets free samples, free shipping, a free online design consultation. You just send them pictures of your home. They send back custom recommendations from a professional for what will work with your color scheme, furniture, and specific rooms. Then they send you the free samples. You get free shipping. And here's the best part. You screw it up, Blinds.com will remake your blinds for free. You mismeasure, you pick the wrong color, Blinds.com will remake it for you for free, so you really have nothing to lose. For a limited time, my listeners get $20 off at Blinds.com when you use promo code Ben. That is Blinds.com, promo code Ben, for $20 off. Full wood blinds, cellular shades, roller shades, and more. Blinds.com, promo code Ben. Rules and restrictions apply. Blinds.com, promo code Ben. Coming up, Rudy Giuliani, right, has become the center of this impeachment inquiry, but he's facing some issues of his own. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Does your water stain and damage your fixtures? Does it smell or taste bad? Are you worried about what's in your water? Water quality should not be painful and worrisome. Get HydroCare Water Systems from Wave Home Solutions with the most advanced purification technologies. Call Wave Home Solutions today at 1-888-973-WAVE or go to wavecleanwater.com. HydroCare will eliminate lime scale that causes hundreds of dollars in damage to pipes and appliances. Without using salt, well water will no longer smell or stain your fixtures. City water will be purified of harmful chlorine, lead, arsenic, and chemicals. Wave Home Solutions provides the cleanest, healthiest water at every faucet. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 1-888-973-WAVE. 1-888-973-WAVE. Or go to wavecleanwater.com. That's wavecleanwater.com.
Wave Home Solutions.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
We try to make healthy choices, but do you ever choose the air you breathe? Now you can, with a complete indoor air quality package from Wave Home Solutions. Included is the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit with computerized sensor control and app to reduce moisture, mold, odors, and insect infestation from your basement or crawl space. It also expels harmful gases such as radon, carbon monoxide, and other pollutants. Addressing the worst air in your home will transform the entire house. Add the Wave 6-stage hospital-grade air purifier, the only one with HEPA filtration, two UV lamps, and other processes for a 99% kill rate of a broad range of pollutants and allergens. The WAVE Indoor Air Quality Package will make your home a drier, cleaner, and healthier one all year round. It's time you choose the air you breathe. Choose WAVE Home Solutions. Call 888-979-WAVE. That's 888-979-WAVE. Or visit dryhousenow.com. Dryhousenow.com.
WAVE Home Solutions.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Rudy Giuliani has become the center of this whole impeachment inquiry. What exactly was he funneling Trump? How was he funneling it to him? What sort of information was he getting? But also, he may be in some legal trouble of his own. According to Bloomberg, Rudy Giuliani, President Trump's personal lawyer, is being investigated by federal prosecutors for possible campaign finance violations and a failure to register as a foreign agent as part of an active investigation into his financial dealings, according to three U.S. officials. The probe of Giuliani, which one official said could also include possible charges on violating laws against bribing foreign officials or conspiracy, presents a serious threat to Trump's presidency from a man that former National Security Advisor John Bolton has called a hand grenade. Except not so much, because here's the reality. If it turns out that Rudy Giuliani were to be prosecuted for bribery, if it turns out that Rudy Giuliani were to be prosecuted for not registering as a foreign agent, then it appears that Trump got duped, not that Trump was actually attempting to go after Joe Biden. Then it just appears that Rudy Giuliani was manipulating the president, which means that Rudy is the one who takes the cap, not the president of the United States. A second official said Giuliani's activities raised counterintelligence concerns as well, although there probably wouldn't be a criminal charge related to that. The officials, who asked for anonymity to discuss a sensitive matter, provided the first indication of the potential charges under investigation. I would not be surprised if he gets indicted, said Mimi Rocha, a former federal prosecutor with the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Southern District of New York. It's clear Giuliani is up to his ears in shady stuff, and there's tons of smoke. And so, Trump continues to be tied to Rudy Giuliani, but again, if Giuliani was the source of all the bad information, then that's really not going to hurt Trump. It's really mostly going to hurt Giuliani, because Trump can claim, probably rightly, that his personal lawyer was feeding him bad information, and he was operating on the back of that bad information, not to get Joe Biden, but just because Giuliani was saying there's this corruption here, and it involves Hunter, and it involves Joe, and it involves CrowdStrike, and it involves the 2016 election. This is why I say Giuliani is the nexus of all of this, which is probably why Giuliani is openly joking, that he has insurance against President Trump in case President Trump dumps him. It all comes down to Giuliani. Now, is any of this going to matter in the end? Probably not, because Rudy Giuliani is maybe he testifies, maybe he doesn't. If he just says what he said in his Wall Street Journal op-ed that we read yesterday on the air, then he's probably fine. This all seems like a bit of gamesmanship by the Democrats more than anything else, which is why Yovanovitch is a witness who doesn't really matter. Okay, so a couple of upcoming developments in this impeachment inquiry. So apparently, there's a career White House budget official who's expected to testify in the impeachment inquiry. This will be Mark Sandy. According to the Washington Post, a longtime career employee at the White House Office of Management and Budget is expected to break ranks and testify Saturday in the House Democrats' impeachment inquiry. Sandy would be the first OMB employee to testify in the inquiry after OMB acting director Russell Vought and two other political appointees at the agency defied congressional subpoenas to appear. Again, that's not illegal. They just filed a lawsuit saying we can't testify until a court tells us that we need to testify. The White House has called the impeachment inquiry unconstitutional and ordered administration officials not to participate. Sandy is a career employee who was not appointed by the president, which again suggests that presidents who come into office should fire basically everyone and replace them with their own people. He has worked at the agency off and on for over a decade under presidents of both parties, climbing the ranks to his current role as deputy associate director for national security programs. He's expected to testify during a closed-door deposition, which is not open to the public. Typically, the witnesses first have testified behind closed doors, and then they have testified in front of the cameras. It is unclear what exactly he's going to testify to. He may know something about the process by which aid was withheld, but again, if he was not in the room for conversations with Mick Mulvaney and President Trump, then he's not going to have any special insight either. So it feels like, it does feel like, and the poll numbers tend to show this, that the impeachment inquiry is a bit stalled out right now. That it basically, no one's mind is being changed. Everyone who thought Trump should go before thinks they should go now. And if that's the case, then we have an election in like a year. So all you have to do is just wait a year, and you guys are going to get to have a referendum on whether you think Trump is fit for office or not. The problem is Democrats don't want that referendum. Why don't they want that referendum? Because it turns out their candidates are just sheer buckets of garbage. I mean, just awful, awful candidates. Coming up, let's talk about these Democratic candidates so bad that they have to focus in on impeachment Bernie Sanders has a climate change proposal so bad that even the New York Times thinks it's garbage. And Elizabeth Warren's wealth tax, well, it turns out it's taxing people over 100%. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com. KCNR 1460.
A jewel of North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
The holiday season is here, so why not give the gift that keeps giving? Perhaps a social membership or golf lessons. Riverview Golf and Country Club has been providing home away from home entertainment. Find out how you can become a member today. Go to riverviewgolf.net. That's riverviewgolf.net.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I want to share some thoughts from local 53-year teaching icon Phyllis Hutchinson about her experience living here at River Commons.
To come into a place with this many people and not know the people and be comfortable immediately, that says so much to me. Everybody's so happy. Everybody's talking to everybody. I felt apart the minute I moved in. The music that's brought in, what a wonderful thing to do for people, that we can go down and sit and relax and be entertained. I absolutely cannot imagine a thing that could be done around here that would improve it in any way.
Call today for a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents, just like Phyllis, love living here. River Commons Senior Living, 301 Hartnell, or check us out on the web, river-commons.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change and down 9 to noon. Be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, Financial Peace with Dave Ramsey. 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with a 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, 6.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly. And all kinds of fun. Second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill covering women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. Also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 and 1460 at 6 p.m., North State Now.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to our1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come, we want in a Jefferson State of Mind. Getting into college doesn't happen magically. You have to take the right classes in Algebra 2, Biology, and a foreign language. Learn more at knowhowtogo.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So it turns out the Democratic candidates are garbage. I'm talking about people like Bernie Sanders. Even the New York Times is now critical of Bernie Sanders' $16 trillion vision for arresting global warming. According to the New York Times, Sanders' vision would put the government in charge of the power sector, which has worked great in the state of California, and promised that by 2030, the city and transportation system would run entirely for hydropower or geothermal energy. Sure, sure. I'm sure that the entire electrical grid will run on wind by 2030, in 11 years. Yes, sure. Climate scientists and energy economists say the plan is technically impractical, feasible, and possibly ineffective. Yet the criticism does not appear to bother many of the young voters who will have an important role in selecting a Democratic presidential candidate. Chandler Condon, a 25-year-old supporter who traveled from Denver to Des Moines for a climate rally with Sanders, says he really has some great ideas that may not be passed, but it's definitely stuff that needs to be brought up. People saying it's too radical, it's like, well, we need that radical change. But the problem is, of course, that the policy isn't serious. And this is why Buttigieg is gaining some ground in places like Iowa. David Victor, a professor of international relations at UC San Diego, a climate advisor, the big challenge for the Democratic Party is that there's no serious policy. He says the progressive wing wants radical change, and climate change is one of those areas where this has really been the most palpable. The Sanders plan claims to deliver radical change, but it can't work in the real world. Yes, you mean that a lifelong communist useless person is disconnected from real-world cause and effect? Who could have thunk it? Meanwhile, new studies have come out on Elizabeth Warren's proposed wealth tax, which is a garbage piece of policy. If you don't know why, go back and listen to Monday's podcast and radio show. According to Jim Tankersley, there's a brand new study out that shows that Elizabeth Warren's proposed wealth tax would slow the U.S. economy, reducing growth by nearly 0.2 percentage points a year, every year over the course of a decade. Every year over the course of a decade. To give you some insight into how large a decline that is, okay, they're basically saying that every single year, the average of 1.5% growth that they are forecasting would drop to 1.3% growth, a 14% lower growth rate every single year for 10 years. Every single year. The same people, by the way, tried to assess how much President Trump's tax cuts would help the economy, and they assessed that the tax cuts would result in 0.06% growth every year for the next 10 years. So take the positive effects of the tax cuts, multiply them by 3 and make them negative. And that's how bad Elizabeth Warren's wealth tax proposal would be for the American economy, because it's a garbage proposal. Why is it such a garbage proposal? Well, because it's going to force people to liquidate stock. It's going to force people to liquidate businesses. It's going to force people to offshore their assets or just leave the country entirely. There's an article in the Wall Street Journal today by Richard Rubin pointing out that Democratic presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren has unveiled sweeping tax proposals that would push federal tax rates on some billionaires and multimillionaires above 100%. For every dollar you take in, you would now pay more than 100% if you make above a certain threshold. Potential tax rates over 100% could result from the combination of tax increases the Massachusetts senator proposes for the very top tier of investors. She wants to return the top income tax rate to 39.6% from 37%, impose a new 14.8% tax for Social Security, add an annual tax of up to 6% on accumulated wealth, and require rich investors to pay capital gains taxes at the same rates as other income, even if they don't actually sell the assets. So in other words, she wants to mark to market. So instead of you having to sell your stocks, if you happen to be a very wealthy person, you just take your stock value, and you haven't sold them, so you haven't realized the gain. She would take your stock value, the accrual of the stock value, and then she would tax you every year on the accrual of value that you have not realized by selling the stock. So says the Wall Street Journal, consider a billionaire with a $1,000 investment who earns a 6% return or $60, received as capital gain, dividend, or interest. If all of Warren's taxes are implemented, he could owe 58.2% of that, or $35 in federal tax. Plus, his entire investment would incur a 6% wealth tax, i.e. at least $60. The result, taxes as high as $95 on income of $60 for a combined tax rate of 158%. The rate would vary according to investor circumstances, any state taxes, the profitability of his investments, and as yet unspecified policy details, but tax rates of over 100% on investment income would be typical, especially for billionaires. So if you're going to get taxed 100%, over 100%, right, you actually get penalized for investing and making money in the stock market, what do you think every billionaire in the country is going to do? What do you think they're going to do? They're going to liquidate their stock immediately before Elizabeth Warren can impose this idiotic wealth tax. What do you think that's going to do to your 401k? You think it's going to be good? when Jeff Bezos unloads $100 billion worth of Amazon stock into the open market just to cash out, because he figures even if I can only sell it for $70 billion, it's better than being taxed at 158% on every dollar I earn over $100 billion. I mean, this is it's insanity. But she knows that it's insanity, and she doesn't care. This is, she's a disingenuous, terrible, terrible candidate. Everybody knows it. It's why if she were able to actually be nominated, she'd have some serious trouble in a general election, because this is insanity. It's insanity. No matter how much people hate rich people in this country, you know what they hate more? Policy proposals that lower the amount of money in their pocket. And that's exactly what would happen. Your stocks would go down. Your income would go down. The GDP of the country would go down if Elizabeth Warren's policy proposals were passed. She's a garbage candidate, Sanders is a garbage candidate, and Joe Biden is barely alive, literally and politically. So no wonder they're focusing in on an impeachment. Now, in a second, I'm going to explain to you how Democratic policy is wrecking one of the better companies in the country, because it is. They are so interested in confiscating wealth and destroying companies. It's truly astonishing. But first, let's talk about your data. You may think that no one cares about your data. After all, you're not like a super famous person. Why would anybody want your data? Well, big tech wants your data so they can make money off of you. Hackers want your data so they can steal your money. And the government wants your data so they can track you. That's just for starters. So why exactly would you leave your data exposed? Would you leave your front door unlocked every single night? Instead, go check out a VPN. The best VPN, ExpressVPN. The best way to ensure all of your data is encrypted and can't be read by hackers is to use ExpressVPN. All you need to do is download the ExpressVPN app on your computer or smartphone. You tap one button to secure 100% of your network data, and then you can use the internet just the way you normally would. ExpressVPN is incredibly reliable. It's the fastest VPN service I've tried. They're also rated the world's number one VPN provider by review sites like TechRadar and CNET. ExpressVPN takes privacy and security to the next level. They actually invented a technology called Trusted Server to ensure that VPN servers run from RAM and no data logs are written to a server's hard drive even by accident. So, if you want the best in online security and privacy protection, head on over to expressvpn.com/ben for 3 extra months free with a 1-year package. Protect your internet today with the VPN I trust to keep my data safe. expressvpn.com/ben to get started. Alrighty, so speaking of bad leftist economics, Uber is now being fined $649 million in the state of New Jersey alone for saying that drivers are not employees. According to the New York Times, New Jersey has now demanded that Uber pay $649 million for years of unpaid employment taxes for its drivers, arguing that the ride-hailing company has misclassified the workers as independent contractors and not as employees, which is absurd because you can actually sign on as an Uber driver part-time. You can decide when you want to drive, right? My employees don't get to do that, okay? People who work for me, we control their time. That's why there are employees. If we just had people who are like, you get to sign on when you want, you get to sign off when you want, and then just kick us back a percentage of what it is you make, and you can use our app. That's not an employee. That's an independent contractor definitionally. But the state's Department of Labor and Workforce Development issued the request this week to Uber and a subsidiary, Razor, after an audit uncovered $530 million in back taxes that had not been paid for unemployment and disability insurance from 2014 to 2018. And because of non-payment, the state now wants another $119 million in interest. A spokeswoman at Uber said the company disputed the state's findings. They said, we're challenging this preliminary but incorrect determination because drivers are independent contractors in New Jersey and elsewhere. Across the country, states and cities have moved aggressively to rein in gig economy companies that depend on inexpensive and independent labor, potentially reshaping their business models. Well, no, what you mean is that you are doing the dirty work of the taxi cab industry by destroying the ability of people who might be otherwise out of work to make a quick buck by driving a car around. That's all that's going on here. And if you think this is helping people who are out of work, if you think this is in some way helping the quote-unquote employees of Uber, all that's going to happen is that if Uber is turned into basically just a normal cab company and they actually have to hire these employees, they're going to go out of business. That their entire business model does not function under this rubric. In California, a new law could require that workers be designated as employees, allowing them to gain access to basic protections like minimum wage and unemployment insurance. Now, I love that they say that would allow the workers to gain access to these things. No, it would allow the workers to be unemployed because Uber would just stop operating. Really, I mean, what's their profit margin going to be like at that point? Like, they have a slightly better cab app than Yellow Cab or something? Like, that's not going to work. You're recartelizing. You're making a cartel again out of driving as opposed to a free market. What the left wants in terms of economics. Now, in other breaking news, turns out that the squad, they don't seem to understand the difference between like campaign expenditures and personal expenditures. This is the third member of the squad, so far as I'm aware, who's had some sort of financial scandal related to misusing campaign funds as personal funds. So we've had AOC, and there were significant there was significant reporting that AOC was paying her boyfriend, basically, from campaign funding while she was dating him. Right? I remember a few months back, that was the accusation, anyway. Now, then there was Ilhan Omar, and there's actually an ethics investigation that apparently was open against Ilhan Omar for spending campaign funds paying her married lover, while she, too, was married, and then, you know, running around on trips with him. So there's an ethics investigation into Ilhan Omar. I don't think there's one into AOC, but there was some allegations made about AOC and campaign funding and her boyfriend. And now there are new allegations made about Rashida Tlaib, the greatest, wisest, and most honest among us. Amazing. I cannot believe it. I cannot believe this. It is just devastating to me. I had counted on their honesty and their transparency. These were the fresh faces of freshness and face. I mean, so much fresh, so much face. Faces of freshness, and yet, the swamp, the swamp. Or alternatively, it turns out that people who love big government are just as apt to be corrupt as people who don't like big government, and in many cases more so. The House Ethics Committee announced on Thursday it is investigating Rashida Tlaib over internal messages that she allegedly sent in 2018 asking her congressional campaign for money for personal expenses, which is a potential crime, according to Ryan Saavedra over at Daily Wire. The announcement came in response to a referral that the committee received from the Office of Congressional Ethics, which alleged that Tlaib's campaign committee, Rashida Tlaib for Congress, reported campaign disbursements that may not be legitimate and verifiable campaign expenditures attributable to bona fide campaign or political purposes. If Representative Tlaib converted campaign funds from Rashida Tlaib for Congress to personal use, or if Representative Tlaib's campaign committee expended funds that were not attributable to bona fide campaign or political purposes, then Representative Tlaib may have violated House rules, standards of conduct, and federal law. Now, this does go to show you, by the way, I remember back in 2006, there was the Mark Foley scandal on the Republican side of the aisle, so 13 years ago now. And there was all this talk about Republican congressional corruption, and it led to a Democratic wave in 2006. If it were not for all the hubbub over Trump, there would be a wave of stories right now about Democratic corruption, ranging from Rashida Tlaib to Ilhan Omar to Katie Hill, all of these new Democratic women. Right? Hill's already, she's already resigned her position, Katie Hill. Right? She's already gone. And now you have Ilhan Omar under investigation and Rashida Tlaib under investigation and allegations about AOC. The Ringo Starr of the squad remains the only person about whom allegations have not been made, Ayanna Pressley. And it turns out it's not relegated to young Democratic women either. Apparently there's another House ethics investigation announced on Thursday into Democratic Representative Alcee Hastings over his relationship with his longtime girlfriend who works for him as a government employee. According to the South Florida Sun Sentinel, the ethics committee didn't identify the staffer in question, but the case clearly refers to Patricia Williams, the deputy director in Hastings' office in his Broward, Palm Beach County district. Williams, who is the congressman's highest paid staffer, and Hastings have been in a relationship for decades, and critics have raised questions about it for years. The House Ethics Committee wrote that the committee is specifically considering whether Representative Hastings with relationship with the individual employed in his congressional office is in violation of House Rule 23, Clause 18A, and whether Representative Hastings has received any improper gifts, including any forbearance, from that employee. The committee continues to gather additional information regarding the allegations. That congressional rule, is a member, delegate, or resident commissioner may not engage in a sexual relationship with any employee of the House who works under the supervision of the member, delegate, or resident commissioner, or who is an employee of a committee on which the member, delegate, or resident commissioner serves. So Alcee Hastings should have married this lady, is what it sounds like, because it says the paragraph does not apply with respect to people who, in fact, are married. This isn't the first time that Hastings has faced controversies involving allegations surrounding relationships. Roll Call reported in December 2017 that the Treasury Department paid $220,000 in a previously undisclosed agreement to settle a lawsuit alleging sexual harassment involving Alcee Hastings. Winston Packer, a former staff member of a congressional commission promoting international human rights, said in documents that the congressman touched her, made unwanted sexual advances, and threatened her job. At the time, Hastings was the chairman of the Commission on Security and Cooperation in Europe, where Packer worked. So there would be a bevy, if the media did its job, there would be this wave of questions about whether Democrats were handling things ethically. Coming up, we'll bring you the update from the Middle East. It's gone sort of unnoticed in the news because of Impeachmentgate, but there's like 150 rockets that have fallen on Israel thanks to the wonderful, peaceful Palestinian regime in the Gaza Strip. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com. Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the fact is that while the rest of the world may be focused on impeachment gate, the Palestinian terrorists in the Gaza Strip are focused on firing rockets at Jews. The continuing battle in the Gaza Strip continues. It turns out that Israel removing itself from the Gaza Strip circa 2005 did not result in the peaceful and wondrous election of a moderate Palestinian leadership that would make peace with Israel. Instead, it turns out the Hamas took over, a terrorist group, and now they are in open competition with another terrorist group, Islamic Jihad, for supremacy in the Gaza Strip. Well, a couple of weeks ago, about a week and a half ago, Israel killed one of the members, leading members of Islamic Jihad, because they had information that he was planning a series of terror attacks on Israeli targets. So they took him out. And this prompted Islamic Jihad to fire some 150 rockets into the heart of the state of Israel, all the way pretty close to Beit Shemesh, which is kind of central in Israel. There are a couple of rockets that fell close to Beit Shemesh. There are a bunch of them that fell in Ashkelon. There are a bunch of them that fell in Ashdod. And put it this way, if Mexico started firing 150 rockets into the middle of San Diego, do you think the United States would let that regime stand? You think that would happen? Or do you think that the United States would immediately topple the Mexican regime? Like, immediately. No self-respecting state should be tolerating this kind of garbage. But because Israel is under international pressure and because there are no good alternatives over there, instead, Israel has been targeting specific Palestinian Islamic Jihad targets. Right? Hamas, by the way, is celebrating all of that, right? Because Hamas, one of the reasons Islamic Jihad is doing this is as a show of strength in order to overcome Hamas. Hamas is unpopular in the Gaza Strip, even though they have governed through tyrannical hand there since 2005. Islamic Jihad wants to take over for them. So you get to choose between two terrorist groups if you're in the Gaza Strip, which is just wonderful, just wonderful. The Oslo process of bringing terrorists in to negotiate with, it turns out that was a giant fail, and it has ended up with more terrorists who you can't negotiate with. Right now, Hamas is actually risking conflict with Iran by abandoning Islamic Jihad, because Hamas doesn't care if Islamic Jihad gets wiped off the map. In fact, they would prefer it. But Islamic Jihad is backed by Iran. Hamas is also backed by Iran. So Hamas is sort of between a rock and a hard place. Either they side with Palestinian Islamic Jihad and start shooting rockets into Israel, in which case Israel goes in and destroys the Hamas leadership again and the Palestinian Islamic Jihadic leadership again. Or they sit this one out, let Islamic Jihad be devastated, and then Hamas consolidates its power. Now, all of this comes, it is incredible. All of this comes amidst the European Union's insistence that any product made by a Jew in Judea and Samaria be labeled West Bank. Okay, so we have now gone back to labeling Jewish products in Europe. Now, there are a lot of people out there, well, no, they're just labeling it by area. Yeah, except for the fact that if a Muslim produces a product in the West Bank, it is labeled Palestine. Okay, there is no state of Palestine. It does not exist. So the assumption made by the EU is that that entire area ought to be owned and governed by the same people, the same terrorists firing rockets into civilian areas of Israel, not targeting military installations, literally just firing rockets randomly into, like, freeways. And the Europeans have no moral when it comes to this issue, or frankly, many other issues. It's pretty astonishing. Okay, let's get to a quick thing I like and then a quick thing that I hate. And then maybe we'll do, like, a small amount of Bible talk today. So, things that I like. So, my friend Ali Stuckey, who is over at Conservative Review TV, Blaze TV, Ali Stuckey was testifying on the Hill. She was called to testify about abortion laws. And Democrats had called a bunch of so-called experts. They called somebody from Planned Parenthood. And then the Republicans called Ali to talk about abortion. And Ali started, she gave an excellent 5-minute presentation on what exactly an abortion procedure is, and what is actually morally wrong with killing a baby before it is born, killing a human life in the womb. And Debbie Wasserman Schultz then goes after Ali and says, well, you're not a doctor, so why are you even here? And Ali promptly just wrecks Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
I just want to clarify that Ms. Stuckey is here expressing her own opinion exclusively and has no scientific or particular expertise in this subject matter whatsoever.
I think it says something when I, the one without the scientific or medical background, am the only one to give you specifics
on what an abortion procedure actually is. Reclaiming my time,
yourself.
Ms. Stuckey, my question was not of you, and you have essentially acknowledged that you're here expressing your own opinion.
Okay, that is astonishing. I love that Wasserman Schultz has to seize back the mic because Stuckey, Ali points out, the one thing that matters, which is, she says, you're not a doctor, and she says, okay, then why am I the only one who's willing to talk explicitly about what an abortion constitutes? And Wasserman's like, well, I'm not, you know, I need my time back. My bad. I need my time back. Well, she paused for Stuckey to answer, and then she's like, the question wasn't to you. Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. Democrats never want to talk about the truth about abortion, because that would involve talking about the brutality, particularly of late-term abortion, which is not an antiseptic procedure. Late-term abortion involves the forcible cutting apart of human bodies, right, inside the womb. That's what it is. Democrats never want to talk about it. They always want to use euphemisms. The reason being, once people get a good look at what exactly this procedure entails, they realize just how barbaric it is. And the fact is that I mentioned on the show that my wife is pregnant with child number 3. And she got an ultrasound at 10 weeks. 10 weeks, okay. So you still had another, I believe, 11 weeks in the state of California to decide whether you wanted to dispose of this human being. At 10 weeks, you can see that this is a baby, just as like a matter of instinctive sight, right? Forget about the moral arguments about human life and does it extend all the way back to conception. Just as a sort of animal instinct, you can look at the pictures because the ultrasounds are that good now. And you can see at 8, 9, 10 weeks that this thing looks like a baby. It does. It looks like a baby. Even if you were just going to use the baseline stupid Democratic argument that things have to look.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene. But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/changethe culture.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. Day two of public hearings in the House impeachment inquiry of President Donald Trump featured career diplomat and former ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, who said she felt threatened by the president as she detailed the story of being abruptly recalled from her post. Democrat Chairman Adam Schiff was taken to the woodshed when he cut short some Republican questions with his gavel. After the day concluded, Elise Stefanik, one of those stifled, voiced her displeasure at the heavy-handed approach.
The witness was able to answer questions. As you saw, the only people that were limited from asking questions were Republican members because we were muzzled by Adam Schiff.
There may be some closed-door Q&As this weekend. A longtime career employee at the White House Office of Management and Budget is expected to break ranks and testify Saturday.
Mark Sandy would be the first Office of Management and Budget employee to testify in the impeachment inquiry after OMB Acting Director Russell Vaught and two other political appointees at the agency defied congressional subpoenas to appear. Sandy, a career employee and former OMB director, is currently the agency's Associate Director for National Security Programs. He's expected to be subpoenaed in order to explain why nearly $400 million in aid to Ukraine was held up.
Political consultant Roger, that's correspondent Bernie Bennett. Political consultant Roger Stone has been found guilty of witness tampering and lying to Congress.
Stone was convicted of all seven counts in an indictment that accused him of lying to Congress, tampering with a witness, and obstructing the House investigation into whether the Trump campaign coordinated with Russia to tip the 2016 election. Stone is a longtime friend and ally of President Trump and is the sixth Trump aide or advisor to be convicted of charges brought as part of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation. Stone could face up to 20 years in prison. Greg Clugston, Washington.
A 16-year-old boy who shot five fellow students, killing two before turning the gun on himself at a Southern California high school, has died. More on these stories at townhall.com.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife Jenny was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. 844-45-BIBLE.
United Airlines is removing the grounded Boeing 737 MAX from its schedule until March 4th.
That's 2 months longer than previously planned and follows similar moves by American and Southwest and reflects further delays in Boeing's work to fix the planes after two deadly crashes. Without the planes, United will cancel 56 flights a day in January, February, and early March. United has 14 MAX jets. All MAX planes have been grounded since March after crashes in Indonesia and Ethiopia killed 346 people. John Scott reporting.
Hurricane Dorian inflicted losses of about $3.4 billion on the Bahamas, an amount equal to one-quarter of the Caribbean GDP, according to a report by the Inter-American Development Bank. The report also said that there were 67 confirmed deaths and that 282 people were still missing as of late October. News and analysis at townhall.com. A panel of advisors to the Food and Drug Administration backs wider use of fish oil to prevent heart attack. Here's correspondent Ron DeRockstra.
U.S. health experts are recommending expanded approval of a prescription-strength fish oil drug to help prevent heart problems.
Currently, the drug, Vascepa, is approved for a relatively narrow group of patients with extremely high levels of triglycerides, a type of fat in the blood linked to heart disease. Irish drug maker Amarin is seeking approval for a much larger group of patients who have lower fat levels but are still at risk of heart problems despite taking cholesterol-lowering statin drugs like Lipitor and Zocor.
The FDA expected to make a final decision on the drug before the end of the year. Myles Garrett done playing for the Cleveland Browns this season. The NFL isn't saying when the star defensive end will play again. He was suspended for at least the rest of the regular season and postseason if the Browns qualify. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully-built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Got a lot coming up for you this hour. A little bit later on in the hour, we'll be talking about the Roger Stone trial. We will check the mailbag. A lot of stuff to talk about. But we begin at this hour with the breaking news that President Trump is a mean, mean man. Apparently, this is impeachable. The reason that this comes up is because apparently Marie Yovanovitch, who is the former ambassador to Ukraine that Trump fired way back in, what was it, like April or May? Well, when he fired Marie Yovanovitch, he had every capacity to do so, right? It had nothing to do with Ukrainian aid. He was hearing stuff from people who surround him saying that she was basically an Obama plant. He disagreed with his generalized Ukrainian policy. But Yovanovitch has never spoken to Trump. This is a point that was made by Representative Mark Meadows from North Carolina. He says, like, why is she being called as a witness? She's not involved in anything having to do with the withholding of military aid, which supposedly was the subject of this entire investigation in the first place. So Mark Meadows said, she's never spoken to Trump. Why are we even talking to her?
Here we've got the third witness now that's coming in, Sean, and what I've found is none of those witnesses have ever met Donald Trump, and so when you have a real conversation with him, you start to say, well, golly, you know, why are they actually the star witnesses? Now, tomorrow, it's even better than that. The ambassador who's coming in wasn't there during the phone call, wasn't there when the aide was suspended. You know where she was? She was at Georgetown. And so we got Nancy Pelosi talking about bribery. Well, the only bribery that's going to take place is where she has to bribe the American people to believe the story that they're spinning.
Okay, so, you know, she had been fired all the way back in, like, May. And she doesn't really have anything of value to say. And so what is her story? Her story is basically that Trump fired her because he was receiving outside information from Rudy Giuliani and Fox News host and Donald Trump Jr. that she was a meanie. And he was mean, and so he fired her. That's her entire story. And this is not impeachable in any way. It isn't. The president can fire the ambassador whenever he pleases. He doesn't have to wait about it. He doesn't have to do it. Like, really, he doesn't have to give an excuse. He can just fire people who work for him. She works for him at the pleasure of the president, as Adam Schiff recognized. So Yovanovitch was there to basically testify that foreign policy was being shaped from outside the normal foreign policy channels. Now, we already know that. There's nothing new there. It's just that she's a sympathetic face because she has served in administrations, Democratic and Republican. She's a longtime Foreign Service officer. She was mistreated, she says. I'm inclined to believe that maybe she was. That doesn't really matter. The bottom line is none of that is impeachable, but she's there to establish a credible line, which is that Trump was receiving advice from Rudy Giuliani that ran counter to the interests of the United States. Presumably the interest of the United States would have been not only maintaining military aid, but also maintaining Marie Yovanovitch. So it's a little self-serving. Here is Marie Yovanovitch saying that she was targeted by Don Jr. and Fox News hosts.
Was it Mr. Lutsenko, among others, who coordinated with Mr. Giuliani to peddle false accusations against you as well as the Bidens?
Yes, that is my understanding.
And were these smears also amplified by the president's son, Donald Trump Jr., as well as certain hosts on Fox?
Yes, that is the case.
Okay, and honestly, if she feels like she was wrong, you understand why she feels bad about this? I mean, she feels like people were ripping on her with no good reason, that Giuliani was being fed information from people who are bad sources in Ukraine, and she ends up with her head on the chopping block. Okay, but why this is relevant to Trump committing an impeachable offense is beyond anyone. It doesn't make any sense. Okay, well, President Trump never wants to just let sleeping dogs lie or to restrict his commentary to the fact that Yovanovitch has nothing to say about impeachment. Instead, he decided to go on Twitter and just rip into her personally. So the president being the president, Trump being Trump, Manny being Manny. It works when you're hitting 340. It doesn't work when you're hitting 280. In any case, Donald Trump tweeted out, "Everywhere Marie Yovanovitch went, turned bad. She started off in Somalia. How did that go?" And just pause for 1 second. Somalia isn't a bad place to live because Marie Yovanovitch was our ambassador there. Like that, or because she served in a foreign service role over there. It wasn't like over in Somalia, things were peachy keen, and then Yovanovitch came, and suddenly the tribesmen were slaughtering one another. Like, that's not how this works. That suddenly the terrorist groups were going at it. But Trump says, then fast forward to Ukraine, where the new Ukrainian president spoke unfavorably about her in my second phone call with him. It is the U.S. president's absolute right to appoint ambassadors. Okay, that's fair. He says they call it serving at the pleasure of the president. The U.S. now has a very strong and powerful foreign policy, much different than preceding administrations. It should say preceding administrations, not proceeding administrations, but we're not here to spell check the president or malaprop check the president. He says, it is called quite simply America First. With all of that, however, I have done far more for Ukraine than Obama. So what does this sound like? It sounds like typical Trump mouthing off, right? It sounds like typical Trump just, I don't like what I'm seeing on TV. Here's Twitter. Boop, 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 boop. Done. Boom. Out. Right, that's what Trump is doing there. Now, the direction that Democrats take this demonstrates how bad faith all of this is. Trump is not attempting to intimidate Marie Yovanovitch. He's not attempting to intimidate. Like, if you're trying to intimidate Marie Yovanovitch, presumably you'd have to hold something over her head. He's already fired her, and now he's just publicly proclaiming how much he doesn't like her. Right? That's all. That's the whole thing. It doesn't, like, you don't have to psychoanalyze President Trump. Pretty much everything he thinks is right there on the surface. It's not like you have to delve deep, three generations deep into his past to discover what's going on in that keen brain. Like, that's not right. He tweeted out that he doesn't like Yovanovitch because, guess what? Spoiler alert, he doesn't like Yovanovitch. Where the Democrats take this is insane. So, Adam Schiff promptly suggests that Trump has engaged in witness intimidation, an impeachable offense. So he's saying that because Trump tweeted mean things about Marie Yovanovitch while she was testifying about Trump, this amounts to witness intimidation or witness tampering. Okay, statutorily, in order to achieve witness tampering, you have to tamper with the witness. You have to make some sort of threat. You have to exert some sort of pressure. It can't just be somebody is testifying and then you publicly say, person's a jerk, don't like him. That is not witness tampering. Here's Adam Schiff being a crap lawyer and a ridiculous partisan. He says, oh, no, this is, it's just like witness intimidation. Witness intimidation, Adam Schiff.
Well, I want to let you know, Ambassador, that some of us here take witness intimidation very, very seriously. Mr. Goldman.
Oh, really? Some of us. Some of us take super seriously witness intimidation. Adam Schiff, the stalwart lawman. Sure. And then Yovanovitch is asked whether she finds this intimidating. Right? She's read his real-time attacks on Twitter, and she says, yes, of course I find this intimidating. I'm sure. Let's be real about this. No, you don't. You don't. Okay, I'm sorry, you don't. Like, this is a stalwart foreign policy officer of the United States who has served in some of the most contentious regions in the world. I highly doubt she finds it intimidating that Donald Trump is tweeting mean tweets about her. And here's Yovanovitch.
Notwithstanding the fact that, as you testified earlier, the president implicitly threatened you in that call record, and now the president in real time is attacking you, what effect do you think that has on other witnesses' willingness to come forward and expose wrongdoing?
Well, it's very intimidating.
It's designed to intimidate, is it not?
I mean, I can't speak to what the president is trying to do, but I think the effect is to be intimidating.
Okay, I'm sorry. So now the claim is not that he was trying to intimidate Yovanovitch. It's that he's attempting to intimidate everybody else. Okay, but again, it's not witness intimidation to say the person testifying is mean. Like, oh, well, that's going to intimidate everybody else because he might say they're mean. You never know. Okay, guaranteed he's going to say it. Right? 100% guaranteed. Every person who testifies, he'll tweet about. He's done it about Vindman. He's done it about Kent. He's done it about Taylor. He's done it about everybody. Right? Like, to pretend that this is some form of witness intimidation is absurd. The RNC points out, by the way, or the White House, rather, the White House points out that Democrats routinely attack witnesses. Right? AOC has attacked the Secretary of Commerce, Wilbur Ross, during an oversight hearing. Representative Robin Kelly called for AG Barr to resign immediately after he testified in the Senate. Eleanor Holmes Norton bragged about the way she refused to let Ken Cuccinelli stray during his testimony. Right? People are constantly attacking each other over their testimony. To pretend that this is a form of witness intimidation is absurd. I'm sorry, it's not. It's just, it's ridiculous. Now, is it smart? No, but who's accused the president of behaving in smart ways throughout this entire ordeal? Smart is not the standard. Impeachable is the standard. And now you got Democrats saying, oh, maybe an impeachable offense what just happened. Wow, he said mean things about Marie Yovanovitch. You never know. He might say mean things about Gordon Sondland, too. You wouldn't want him to say mean things, would you? That's intimidating when the president says mean things. Oh, God. Like, really, if this is the best you can come up with, you got nothing. If this is the best you can do, you ain't got a thing. Because that is weak tea, brother. I mean, that is weak tea. We'll get to more of this in just one second. First, let's talk about the fact that your data are under assault. The fact is there are a lot of people who want your data. You got hackers who are looking for your credit card info so they can spend it on NFL tickets. I know because this happened to me 2 years ago. And that's when I started thinking to myself, hey, maybe I shouldn't use public Wi-Fi without a VPN. The VPN I chose, ExpressVPN. It's an app I use to stay secure online. Why should you care about encrypting your data? Because people want that data. The best way to ensure that all of your data is, in fact, encrypted and cannot be read by hackers is to use ExpressVPN. All you need to do is download the ExpressVPN app on your computer or smartphone. You tap one button to secure 100% of your network data, and then you use the internet just the way you normally would. ExpressVPN is incredibly reliable and is the fastest VPN service I've tried. They're also rated the world's number one VPN provider by review sites like TechRadar and CNET. So, if you want the best in online security and privacy protection, you have but one choice. Head on over to expressvpn.com/ben for 3 extra months free with a 1-year package. Protect your internet today with the VPN I trust to keep my data safe. Go to expressvpn.com/ben to get started again. That's expressvpn.com/ben to get started right this very instant. expressvpn.com/ben. Go check them out right now. Okay, so, yeah, people are already lamenting this, right? Jennifer Rubin, who is hyperactive at the Washington Post. She has a piece called Marie Yovanovitch Becomes a Victim of Trump's Thuggishness Again in Real Time. Did you know no one has ever been mean to anyone else publicly, ever, during witness testimony, ever? Amazing. Jennifer Rubin says, House Intelligence Committee Chairman Representative Adam Schiff began the second day of impeachment hearings calmly and methodically reviewing the career of former Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch, highlighting her anti-corruption credentials. Schiff explained the question the hearing was intending to probe was why Rudy Giuliani and President Trump ousted her, and the questioning was aimed at making clear that Yovanovitch posed an obstacle to the corrupt former Ukrainian prosecutor Yuri Lutsenko, Giuliani, and Trump. Schiff explained that the power of the president is not unlimited and cannot be used for corrupt ends. But later in the day, President Trump started to try and intimidate. Trump launched a tweet by smear, inadvertently underscoring how morally vacuous and dismissive of reality he is. In real time, Trump displayed the grotesque behavior we have come to expect from him, the proclivity to attack American patriots, to throw his lot and the lot of the American government in with corrupt thugs, and to support efforts that inevitably redound to the benefit of Russia. She called the tweet Yovanovitch did intimidating, and Schiff replied, "We take witness intimidation very seriously. It was a stunning rebuke to the Trump-Giuliani school of thuggish personal destruction." And now again, do I think that it's a good thing that Trump tweeted that out? No, I don't. I don't know why you would. Is it impeachable? Is it witness tampering? Give me a break. Alrighty, coming up, the Supreme Court makes a terrible ruling this week about gun manufacturers and whether they can be sued. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286. That's 1-800-469-0286.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Okay, so the Supreme Court basically ruled this week that gun manufacturers can be sued for bad people using their products, which is just an absurdity. According to Hank Berrien, writing over at Daily Wire, this week the Supreme Court ruled it would refuse an appeal from the Remington Arms Company of a Connecticut Supreme Court ruling that permitted relatives of Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting victims to sue Remington. The shooter in the Sandy Hook shooting used arms made by Remington. The New York Times wrote the case has been seen as a test of the ability of plaintiffs to pierce the legal immunity of firearm manufacturers in the aftermath of shootings. Okay, so here is the actual full story. So the way that they make this sound is that they make it sound as though there is special immunity granted to gun companies that do not apply to other companies. Now, legally speaking, that's sort of true, and it's mostly not. So the reason it's sort of true is because there is a law specifically on the books that prevents the suing of gun manufacturers for bad people using their products. But the only reason that that law was formulated in the first place is because there was bad application of law in a lot of the states. So typically, when it comes to product liability, right, if there's a tort, there's only a couple of ways that you can sue the manufacturer of the thing that hurt you. And there are a couple of different types of defects that you can sue under. Okay, design defect. So a product was designed and it was defective as it was designed, and therefore it did not fulfill its purpose. Right, the product was flawed from the very beginning in the design. Like you designed a car and the engine blows up as soon as there is some sort of car crash. Right, that'd be a design defect. Then there's a manufacturing defect, which is the car was perfectly designed, but in the process of manufacture, then there was a flaw that cropped up, and now the car blows up when you hit somebody. And finally, there's a marketing defect, and that is that something is marketed improperly, right? They say that the product can do something that it can't do. The product says that it is, in fact, inflammable when it is completely flammable, right? That's a marketing defect. Now, the problem is that when it comes to a bad person using a gun, the gun manufacturer was not involved in either a design defect, a manufacturing defect, or a marketing defect. Right, there's no design defect. The gun operates as it was supposed to. There's no manufacturing defect. The gun operates as it is supposed to. And there was no marketing defect because at no point did Remington say, if you want to rob a bank, buy our gun. Instead, they said, if you wish to buy a gun, here is how the gun operates. And then somebody bad bought a gun or used a gun, and then the manufacturer was sued. Okay, so there are a lot of people launching lawsuits against manufacturers because that's the deep pocket. It's very weird in Sandy Hook's case because in that case, the gun was apparently legally bought by the parents, and then the kid took the gun from the parent after shooting mom and then went to the school and started shooting up the kids. Somehow this is the fault of the manufacturer, Remington. Right, so normally, this makes no sense, right? It makes, like, no sense, legally speaking, to sue Remington. But what happens is that if you're a good lawyer, what you know is that all you have to do with a case like this is get it in front of a jury. Because you get this in front of a jury, and you sit there, and the jury rightly is going to look at the victim, in this case, the parents of a kid who's been murdered, and they're going to say, okay, those people have no money, and here's Remington, the company that made the gun, and they have lots of money, so let's give them each $10 million. Right? And that can bankrupt a company. So back in 2005, there were a lot of cases like this in the early 1990s where gun manufacturers were basically being sued out of business by various private parties at the behest of states, liberal states. Okay, so in 2005, there was a bill that was passed that said, okay, we can't have lawsuits that are being launched on false auspices in order to go get a gun manufacturer just because you don't like gun manufacturers. And so they passed that law. So now there's this lawsuit by the Sandy Hook family, and the Connecticut Supreme Court basically overrules the federal law, which is incorrect. And the Supreme Court says, okay, we're going to allow the lawsuit to stand. It's bad policy. It's bad politics. It's bad law. It's very stupid. It doesn't make any sort of logical sense. It makes emotional sense. It doesn't make any logical sense. And so what you're starting to see is companies like Remington that are carving off sort of separate LLCs to limit their liability. Right? An LLC is a limited liability corporation. So what they're starting to do is they will have, if they're being sued under the auspices of marketing defect, then they will carve off Remington Marketing, for example. So that way, if Remington Marketing gets sued, it doesn't bankrupt the rest of Remington Manufacturer, for example. And all of this is not good for the law-abiding gun owner who just wishes to purchase a gun. None of it is actually good for legal fairness in the country, because you shouldn't be able to just sue a company because you don't like a bad person use their product. It's like suing a knife company because O.J. Simpson stabbed Nicole Brown. Right? Like that would be a very bizarre application of tort law. And yet, this is exactly what the left wants to do. The left has tried every avenue they can think of to bankrupt gun companies. They've suggested, for example, that gun companies be treated as though they are creating a public nuisance, as though they are polluting the air, which is idiotic. Because, again, I have several guns sitting in my house right now. They are not affecting my neighbors. It is not the same as a gun manufacturer spewing toxic waste into a lake or something. So they've tried to say that this should be treated as also a disease, that the Center for Disease Control should study gun violence, which is absurd. Gun violence isn't disease. And I don't know under what rubric you would suggest that gun violence is a disease. It is a crime. Would you study robbery as a disease? It's a very weird sort of thing. And would you study robbery, like armed robbery, as a disease? So only if they're carrying a crowbar, you then have to investigate crowbars as part of the problem? Well, all of this is designed by the left to go after gun manufacturers and destroy them and harm them. And that's why the Supreme Court ruling is so indubitably dumb. It's not only dumb, it's incredibly damaging. So, you know, so much for the conservative Supreme Court. I mean, presumably, there should have been four votes. In order to take up the writ of certiorari, all it takes on the Supreme Court is four votes. I'm wondering, who are the two who didn't go for it? My assumption would be Kavanaugh and Roberts, right? Because there are five votes that have been appointed by Republicans in recent years. I would assume that Alito and Thomas and Gorsuch all voted to take up the case. I would assume that it would be Roberts and Kavanaugh who didn't want to take up the case. But, again, that is speculation. We don't actually have information on that. It's a very dangerous ruling, and it does not bode well for the future of gun rights in this country. You bankrupt every gun manufacturer in the country, it's going to be very difficult for anybody to access the guns that they ought to have under the Second Amendment. Remington's appeal was titled Remington Arms versus Soto. The Connecticut case was Soto versus Bushmaster. The Times noted that the Sandy Hook family's suit had used one of six narrow exemptions to the 2005 law to argue that Remington violated Connecticut's Unfair Trade Practices Act. The suit said the gun maker recklessly marketed the AR-15-style rifle to disturb young men through product placement in violent video games and advertising pitches like, consider your man card reissued, and the opposition will bow down. Well, again, that would be presumably in a video game. I don't think anyone really believes that Remington meant to sell weapons to violent criminals who kill children. In a brief filed by 22 members of the House of Representatives that supported Remington's appeal, they wrote, in enacting the Protection of Lawful Commerce in Arms Act of 2005, Congress expressly recognized that lawsuits seeking to hold manufacturers and sellers of firearms liable for the criminal conduct of third parties were not only without foundation in hundreds of years of common law and jurisprudence of the United States, but also improperly sought to use the judicial branch to circumvent the legislative branch of government to regulate interstate and foreign commerce through judgments and decrees that weaken and undermine important principles of federalism, state sovereignty, and comity between sister states. And, of course, that is true. Connecticut Senator Richard Blumenthal, who's a radical on the gun issue, he issued a statement saying, Sandy Hook families have successfully surmounted a sweetheart federal statute favoring gun companies. Again, it is not a sweetheart federal statute. It is merely a recognition that the left is abusing tort law and will continue to abuse tort law in order to go after, on the one hand, pockets that are deep, and on the other hand, causes that they don't like. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Riverfront Playhouse presents A Christmas Carol by Christopher Sharrow, adapted from Charles Dickens and directed by Jennifer Levins, November 23rd through December 21st. With an intimate cast and ethereal presentation, A Christmas Carol is a ghost story of redemption and a lesson that giving isn't just a seasonal affair. Tickets available at riverfrontplayhouse.net. Enjoy the store running or at the door. A Christmas Carol, November 23rd through December 21st at the Riverfront Playhouse, sponsored by Tri-Counties Bank.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and, of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium, also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM. 6 p.m., North State Now.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
I expected it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Getting into college doesn't happen magically. You have to take the right classes now, like Algebra 2, Biology, and a Foreign Language. Learn more at knowhowtogo.org.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, it's a Friday. That means let's do some mailbagging. Yes, that's right. It's time to read some of your letters and answer your questions. Joseph says, hey, Ben. Love the show. What do you think of the news that Cenk Uygur is apparently going to run for Katie Hill's old seat? Well, listen, more credit to Cenk for putting his political career where his mouth is. So that district has been moving in Hillary Clinton's direction. She won that district by, I believe, 7 in the last election cycle. Katie Hill won the district, but fairly narrowly. And now, of course, she has evacuated her seat because she was accused, and apparently with good evidence, of stooping half of her staff while paying them, so that's never a good look. So now Cenk wants to take up that seat. It'll be interesting to see how he competes. It's a pretty good election cycle for him. I mean, there are a lot of Republicans who have retired going into 2020. It's expected to be a good year for Democrats in all likelihood, although things could change rather radically. Listen, I'm very much in favor of people like Cenk actually taking their political viewpoints to the public. Like, well, let's see him do it. Really, because the Justice Democrats have been finding stand-ins like AOC, who really doesn't know much about politics, to go for it. Cenk is wrong about everything, but he is not a stupid man. And the fact that Cenk is going to run for Congress, listen, I'd rather have him in Congress battling it out over politics than on the sidelines pretending that Bernie Sanders is going to be the next president of the United States. So, frankly, good for him. I don't see a problem with it. Shane says, I was looking at your Twitter. I see all the hate people give you in the comments. As someone who is not in the public light, it is almost overwhelming to see all that stuff. I feel like it would get to me. So my question is, do you read any of the comments, and how do you block this stuff out and not let it get to you? P.S. Blink twice after you answer this if you're going to run for president in 2024, trying to make an early bet and cash out. Okay, so I'm not going to blink twice here. In any case, Shane, listen, one of the difficult things about being in the public eye is the fact that every time you think that you have grown a thick enough skin, you realize you need several more layers of skin. Because obviously, like, if you're a good human being, you're constantly stuck in this battle between wanting to hear critiques that make sense and better yourself as a person and blocking off badly motivated critiques that are designed to tear you down as a human being. And you have this in your regular life, whether it's coming from family or from friends or from people you work with, people who criticize you. Are their criticisms meant to make you better, to call you to account, or are the criticisms simply meant to ruin you and hurt you? And what I found on Twitter is that very rarely are criticisms ever meant to make you better. Twitter is a place, as I have said before, of being dunked upon and dunking. That is what Twitter is for, right? You find somebody else's dumb comment, and then you dunk on them for the retweets. Or you find somebody else's smart comment, and you like it because you're virtue signaling. And Twitter is a place where you show who you are by dunking on other people. It's very rare that you see an honest discussion on Twitter, which is why when it does happen, everybody's like, whoa, what just happened? This is Twitter. Isn't the place for that? So, you know, I've really disengaged a lot from Twitter. I don't read the responses, frankly, on Twitter. I don't spend a lot of time on Twitter. I used to spend a lot more time on Twitter. And the same is true for Facebook. If something rises to the level of attention that is necessary for me to respond, I have an entire staff of people who are watching Twitter for me, so I really don't have to. And frankly, if somebody has a well-intentioned criticism of me, I have a lot of friends who are on the political left who will call me and say, like, we think you did this wrong. Do you know what you meant by that? Or do you have a comment on that? I'm enough of a public figure that the media will reach out to me for comment on issues. So, again, this is the balance. You don't want to block yourself off to criticism. You don't want to be in a position where somebody makes a critique that's fair and you say, well, no, you're badly motivated. I'm never going to listen to that critique. By the same token, yeah, you can't let people tear you down. And this, as I say, is true for everybody, just on a smaller scale. And I'm doing it in front of whatever, 2.5 million people who follow me on Twitter and 5 million who follow me on Facebook and an audience of millions of people who listen to the show. But I think it is imperative to try to strike that balance without making yourself so vulnerable that you allow people to tear you down. Alex says, I'm a high school senior who currently attends a high school that was just a few short miles away from the Saugus High School, where a shooting occurred on Thursday morning. This recent incident has sparked much debate over gun control laws. What do you think is the best way to prevent mass shootings like this in school? Who do you think is to blame for the shooter's actions? Well, typically the shooter is to blame for the shooter's actions. In this particular case, we know that the shooter was 16 years old. We know that the shooter had lost his father to a heart attack a couple of years ago and apparently had gotten more and more depressed. But the reports surrounding the shooter suggest that the shooter was not clinically depressed and that there weren't tons of signs that he was going to do this sort of thing. He had a girlfriend. He had friends. And sometimes it is just a sad reality of life that bad people do bad things, or that people in pain do bad things, or that mentally ill people do bad things. And there are certain times when red flags go up, and we obviously have to be aware of those. And we have to have parents who are willing to report to the proper authorities if they think their kids are going to become a threat. But as far as gun control measures, I'm not aware of any gun control measure that would have stopped this. And you see this from Democrats all the time. They will say, well, we need to do something. Joe Biden was saying this week. We have to stop this. Okay, ready to listen to your proposals. California has an A rating from the Brady Center. The Brady Center is a gun control center. California has exorbitant restrictions on purchase of guns, on ownership of guns, the kind of guns you can own, the kind of magazines you can put in a gun, how many rounds the magazine can hold. And yet California has had several of these mass shootings over the past several years. In fact, a bevy of them. And so what does that have to do with gun ownership or me owning a gun? The answer really is not much. The fact is that the murder rate in the United States is near all-time lows. It's extremely low. The reason that the left likes to focus on the mass shootings is because the mass shootings have risen in recent years, according to stats. And because the mass shootings have risen, they can suggest that this is an effect of guns. But the reality is that as gun ownership in the United States has risen dramatically in terms of the number of guns in circulation, the number of shootings in the United States has actually declined pretty markedly. So instead, they tend to focus on the one area, this one kind of weird, specific sub-area. Well, the problem is that if you focus in, so the Democrats like to play this game where they focus in on the weird, specific sub-area of mass shootings, and they say, look, these are rising, and that's the fault of guns. And they say, okay, so what's your proposal? And then they make a proposal and say, but it won't actually stop the mass shootings. And say, well, so what will it stop? And they say, well, maybe it'll stop the murders, generally. Right, but as the number of guns in circulation have risen in the United States, the murders have declined. So now you're arguing about murders generally in an area where we don't actually need to remove guns to make the gun rate, the murder rate in the United States lower. And in order to evidence that, you're pointing to a subsection that is statistically rising, but that your solutions would have no impact on. And the solutions that have been proposed, I don't really hear them. Obviously, we've had a bunch of issues with transparency, states not talking to the federal government, background checks not being performed properly. We've had a number of issues with parents who know that their kids are threats to themselves or others, and they haven't reported that to the proper authorities. All of that stuff should be corrected. But if the notion is that there is some broad gun confiscation policy that can be undertaken in the United States that's going to stop mass shootings, I don't see the evidence for that. Mike says, my wife and I currently have a goal and a plan that leads her to stay home with our three kids full-time by the year 2021. I've heard you say homeschools and charter schools are the best option for education. Well, private schools also. Is there a type of hybrid program? I don't want our kids to become socially awkward from homeschooling. So first of all, I know a lot of homeschooled kids. I don't think they become socially awkward. Many of them are involved in social organizations through church, through the Boy Scouts, through Little League. And that's just because your kid isn't in school all day, every day with a bunch of other kids doesn't mean they don't see other kids during the day, right? A lot of homeschooling parents get together after school and the kids play together and do activities together and all of that. Private school, obviously, is one of the options that you didn't mention. I think private school is an excellent option. There are a bunch of parochial schools that actually do not cost an arm and a leg. Many of them will give scholarships, and if they don't give scholarships, then very often they will go out and seek charity for people so that they can have the tuition paid. Anne says, I'm interested in researching Napoleon Bonaparte. Considering your extensive knowledge of every nonfiction book ever written, can you suggest a specific biography or history of France during his reign? Okay, so Paul Johnson, who I've been mentioning recently on my podcast, has a very brief life of the history of Napoleon that is quite good. It kind of sums up what you need to know. I remember I did read a biography of Napoleon that was like 900 pages. This would have been a few years back, and I'm trying to remember the author of that particular biography. Let me look it up really quickly. I believe that the author of the biography, let's see. So I'm looking it up on Amazon. It may have been the Andrew Roberts biography. Is that a new one? I'm trying to remember. There are a couple of very good biographies of Napoleon. I think the Andrew Roberts one might be a newer one than the one that I read. In any case, there are a bunch of them that are quite good. So you can't really go wrong with that. As far as history of Napoleonic France, I mentioned another Paul Johnson book in which he discusses this, The Birth of the Modern, that is quite good and talks about Napoleon at length and his impact on the continent. Obviously, Napoleon is a controversial figure. So on the one hand, he did liberalize some laws and regularize some laws. He opened ghettos and such. On the other hand, he was a tyrant with an actual secret police, and he initiated in massive ways the rise of the modern era by effectively merging the civilian population with the military. And that changed things incredibly as far as moving into the 20th century, where the overlap between the military and the civilian population became nearly indistinguishable, which is why you saw incredible levels of civilian deaths during war in the 20th century. The idea you can live off the land, that your civilians are in fact military support. That had tremendous impact on the future of warfare. Okay, we're going to get into more of your questions in just one second. First, let us talk about upgrading the look and feel of your home. How can you do this? Well, why don't you get some new blinds? I know you haven't thought about those. Look around. Yep, they're dingy. Go get some new blinds. Blinds.com. Whether you're looking for energy efficiency, or you just moved, or you want to refresh the look of your home, Blinds.com makes the whole experience fast and easy. Blinds.com makes the whole experience fast and easy by giving you free samples, free shipping, free online design consultation. Plus, if you screw it up, you mismeasure, you pick the wrong blinds, they will redo it for free. They will redo it for free. They've made it easy for you. There is no excuse to leave up the mangled blinds from the wire. For a limited time, my listeners get $20 off at Blinds.com when you use promo code Ben. That's Blinds.com, promo code Ben, for $20 off Fullwood blinds, cellular shades, roller shades, and more. Blinds.com, promo code Ben. Go check them out right now and ensure that your house looks the best that it possibly can. Again, they have like people who will consult with you. You can send them pictures of your house. They send back custom recommendations from a professional for what works with your color scheme and your furniture and specific rooms. And again, you screw it up, they fix it for you. Go check them out. Blinds.com, promo code Ben for $20 off. Rules and restrictions do apply. Okay, more of your questions. Larry says, what is your opinion on the peer review process? Does it ensure proper methods as intended, or does it keep only one point of view prevalent? Well, some of both. So it depends. Peer review typically means that somebody's reviewing your work to ensure that you're not making internal methodological mistakes. At the same time, requiring peer review in vague fields like sociology means that papers that really should see the light of day very often do not see the light of day because you have a bunch of social activists in sociology who do not want you to publish a paper that disagrees with their preferred point of views on human sexuality, for example. It'll just be killed, right? It won't be peer-reviewed. Also, there have been significant problems with the peer-review process when it comes to scientific papers, too, because all peer-review really is again, somebody reading the paper and ensuring that the methodology makes sense, but they're not actually redoing the experiment. And so very often you will see papers that are debunked 20 years later when somebody attempts to replicate the data, and it turns out the data is non-replicable. This has happened with a bevy of high-profile studies in recent years. And it's a real problem. It's a real problem because people operate off the basis of, oh, it's peer-reviewed. That means that the data is good. Well, sometimes it turns out that there were actual flaws that were not reported in the methodology of the paper itself, right, in the selection process, or in the actual science and how it was done. And the results aren't replicable. That's actually a bigger problem. Quade says, I was wondering how you'd rank the big four North American sports on difficulty to win the respective championships and why. I assume you mean the NBA, the NFL, the MLB, and the NHL. So in terms of the difficulty to win the respective championships, just by the level of rotation of title, you'd have to say the NHL, I would think. You really haven't had a dynasty in the NHL for quite a while. I've had some teams that have done well, but I want to look up, like, the last 10 NHL champions, and I believe they've been rotating, like, over and over and over again. So that suggests that it's very difficult to stay at the top in the NHL. So, yes, I mean, the last winners, Blues, Capitals, Penguins, Blackhawks, Kings, Bruins, Blackhawks. So the Blackhawks have been pretty dominant. The Penguins have been pretty dominant. The NFL is a little tough, but obviously the Patriots have been incredibly dominant. In baseball, there are a couple of teams that have stayed at the top through being well-run. And in the NBA, you've had a couple of teams. I still think probably the NHL. Probably the NHL. But I could be persuaded otherwise. All righty. A couple more questions here. Adam says, Ben, longtime listener, first-time questioner. I'd like to get away from politics and ask you about your opinion on baseball's latest controversy with what's recently come to light about the Astros electronically signal stealing in the 2017 World Series and the most recent one. What do you think is the proper response? Even though I'm a casual Dodgers fan, it still feels like we've been robbed. Also, do you think it tarnishes the sport as a whole? I appreciate all you do. Well, honestly, like, it doesn't bother me. Like, there are certain aspects of baseball that, you know, are, you know, quote-unquote cheating that bother me, like using steroids, which actually change athletic performance on the field. As far as stealing signs, the whole point of having signs is that you assume that people are going to steal them. So I don't really have, like, make your signs more complex. Figure something out. Right? It seems weird. Like, this has been a feature of American baseball since, like, the very beginning, is people stealing signs. People being, you have a runner on second base stealing the signs from the catcher. Again, the entire purpose of signs is because you don't want people to steal them. So, is it great they're using electronic equipment? They should be punished for using electronic equipment. If you want to steal using non-electronic equipment, frankly, I'm a little bit warmer to that. I'll be honest. That might just be you outsmarting the opposition. Alrighty, we'll take more of your questions in just 1 second. First, I'd like to take a moment to remind you there's a whole other world to this radio show over at DailyWire.com. You ever miss an opportunity to listen to the Ben Shapiro Show? Well, stop that. Don't let it happen again. Cut it out. You can watch all 3 hours of my radio show when you become a subscriber. Your life will be vastly enriched by the ability to see every detail on the show, from relevant news clips and photos to this astonishingly handsome face. Not only do you get my show, but you'll be able to hear from prominent conservatives like Andrew Klavan and Matt Walsh. You also get Michael Knowles. The entire Daily Wire team has its finger on the pulse of the conservative movement. We'll keep you educated and informed on the most newsworthy stories of the day. So don't wait any longer. Head on over to DailyWire.com. Become a subscriber for just $9.99 a month or $99 a year. Be sure to also check out the new Daily Wire store over at Amazon.com. Stock up on those official Daily Wire hoodies, t-shirts, sweaters, and more. That is DailyWire.com. Become a subscriber. Join tens of thousands of fans in supporting the largest conservative podcast in the United States. Okay, one more question, then we will go to break. See, Mark says, once Republicans in the Senate vote down this impeachment charade, what do you think the Democrats will try on Trump next? Or will they simply just ramp it up on Republicans in general for the 2020 race? Well, I mean, I think that they will, you know, suggest that the impeachment effort goes to Republican corruption more broadly, that President Trump is unfit for the office, that even his defenders suggest that he is sort of bumbling and stumbling in many cases. The problem is they don't have a strong candidate. So we'll have to see who Trump runs against, because Trump is expert at one thing and one thing only. The man is a wrecking ball. He's the Miley Cyrus of American politics. He's a wrecking ball, and you put an enemy in front of him, and that man will wreck that enemy. That is what Trump does. It's why his supporters love him. It's why his opponents hate him. Alrighty, coming up, Roger Stone, one of the president's allies, was just convicted in court. Could do 50 years in prison. We'll talk about how that impacts the president of the United States. We'll talk about whether that has any impact on impeachment, what it has to say about our current justice system. You're listening, of course, to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com. Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286. That's 1-800-469-0286.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, the big news from the left today is that Roger Stone, close ally of President Trump during 2016, has now been found guilty on 7 counts in his trial. According to the New York Times, Stone, a former aide and longtime friend of President Trump, was found guilty on Friday of obstructing a congressional investigation into Russia's interference in the 2016 election in what prosecutors said was an effort to protect Mr. Trump. Stone, 67, was charged with lying to the House Intelligence Committee, trying to block the testimony of another potential witness, and concealing reams of evidence from investigators. Prosecutors claimed he tried to thwart the committee's work because truth would have looked terrible for the president and his campaign. He was found guilty of all 7 counts upon which he was charged. The government built its case over the past week with testimony from a friend of Stone and 2 former Trump campaign officials, buttressed by hundreds of exhibits that exposed Stone's disdain for congressional and criminal investigators. Confronted with lies under oath by one associate, Stone wrote back, "No one cares." They asked jurors to deliver a verdict proving him wrong. The evidence showed that in the months leading up to the 2016 election, Stone strove to obtain emails that Russia had stolen from Democratic computers and funneled to WikiLeaks, which released them at strategic moments timed to damage Hillary Clinton. Stone briefed the Trump campaign about whatever he had picked up about WikiLeaks' plans every chance he got, according to Jonathan Kravis, a lead prosecutor, but denied to congressional investigators that he had done so. Okay, so what exactly does this show? Well, Democrats are trying to claim this shows Trump corruption. Trump corruption. Right, because obviously Stone was funneling information from WikiLeaks to Trump. But there is no evidence that Trump actively facilitated the relations between Trump and between Stone and WikiLeaks, nor that he actively solicited WikiLeaks at all. Instead, it was basically Stone freelancing, getting information, then providing it to Trump, and Trump being like, okay, glad to hear it. Trump, for his part, was raging about this on Twitter. He tweeted out, "So now they convict Roger Stone of lying and want to jail him for many years to come. Didn't they lie?" And then he named a bunch of people suggesting they had lied without punishment, including Hillary Clinton, Robert Mueller, the former FBI Director James Comey, and Representative Adam Schiff, who currently heads the House Intelligence Committee. Trump then came out and he suggested, what about crooked Hillary? He tweeted all of this out. He said, "So now they convict Roger Stone of lying and want to jail him for many years to come. Well, what about crooked Hillary? Comey struck Page, McCain, Brennan, Clapper, Shifty Schiff, Orr and Nelly, Steele, and all of the others, including even Mueller himself. Didn't they lie?" Well, okay, so each one of those we'd have to actually analyze in turn. Is this a double standard like never seen before in the history of our country? Probably not ever before in the history of our country. Like, we've had some pretty bad double standards before. But is he right that there are some people who have committed prosecutable offenses? Well, yeah. I mean, Peter Strzok theoretically could still be prosecuted. Andrew McCain may be prosecuted. I believe he's referred for prosecution. As far as Adam Schiff, I'm not sure he's committed a perjurious offense. Nonetheless, you know, it is fact that Schiff is not a particularly honest dude. As far as Roger Stone, the fact that Trump is defending him is a bad look. And again, it underscores one of the arguments that's going to be made against Trump going into 2020, right? And that argument is he surrounds himself with the worst people, they get him in trouble, and then the country has to extricate him from trouble. Right? What the Stone case shows is sort of the same thing that this whole Ukraine debacle is showing, which is that Trump takes bad advice from the people who surround him. And he surrounds himself with garbage people. I'm sorry. Like, Roger Stone is not a wonderful source of information. Rudy Giuliani is a man.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week, there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 a.m. with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program provides socialization, transportation, and free meals to eligible Native American elders and their spouses. Our program celebrates Native elders through cultural activities, entertainment, exercise, and education. Elders can dine together here and will deliver meals to those who are unable to attend. The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program is free. Discover the services available to you or your elders at readingrancheria.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. Friday's only witness in the second day of the Democrats' impeachment inquiry, Marie Yovanovitch, said she felt threatened by the president as she detailed the story of being abruptly recalled from her post as U.S. ambassador to Ukraine. During her testimony, President Trump sent a negative tweet about her she said was intimidating. Representative Elise Stefanik.
When we're talking about impeachment, we are talking about impeachable offenses. You can disagree or agree with the tweet. I happen to disagree with the tweet. But again, as we know, the Democrats want to continue making this a political food fight. They are going about this in a partisan way.
A San Francisco federal jury has ruled against pro-life advocates for secret Planned Parenthood recording.
The jury reached its verdict Friday after a six-week trial and less than 2 days of deliberation. It sided with Planned Parenthood, finding that David DeLeiden and the Center for Medical Progress trespassed on private property and committed other state and federal crimes during the recording of videos in 2015. Thomas More Society defense lawyer Peter Breen says, quote, this lawsuit is payback for David DeLeiden exposing Planned Parenthood's dirty business of buying and selling fetal parts and organs. George Bonzani reporting.
Well, we've all gotten them on a frequent basis, robocalls. An anti-robocall bill is likely to land on President Trump's desk soon.
House and Senate leaders have announced an agreement in principle on merging bills to crack down on robocalls. Under pressure from regulators, phone companies have begun offering call-blocking apps for smartphones and many home phones, but charges have applied in some cases. A final bill from Congress is expected to require phone companies to verify phone numbers are real and to block calls for free. The bill would also broaden authority for government agencies to go after scammers. According to tech vendor Umail, there were 5.7 billion robocalls in the U.S. in October. Mike Gracia, Washington.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Sebastian Gorka here for Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that was formulated by doctors to help your body deal with inflammation and pain. The reason I've told so many of my friends about the 3-week quick start is because as we get older, occasional aches and pains can be a real problem, keeping you from sleeping through the night or doing the things you love and need to do, like taking walks or playing golf, going up or downstairs, or simply playing with your kids or grandkids. Tens of thousands are now like me, glad they ordered the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. After years of back pain, I found relief, and I believe you could too. Folks, this is why the father and son owners of Relief Factor, Pete and Seth Talbot, created the 3-week quick start, and they discounted it to only $19.95. Approximately 70% of those who order it go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain, too. Go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-500-8384.
Turkey's state-run media says an American man suspected of being an Islamic State group member is stuck between Turkey and Greece.
for a fifth day.
The suspected militant, who remains in no man's land on the border between the countries, has been identified by local media as Mohammed Darwis, a US citizen of Jordanian origin. On Thursday, Turkey's interior ministry had said repatriation was underway after the US had agreed to accept Darwis and provide his travel documents. The man has been waiting in the heavily militarized border zone since November 11. He had wanted to go to Greece from Turkey, but Athens has refused to take him in. I'm Charles Suledesma.
Severe flooding in Venice is threatening the Italian city famed for its canals and architecture. Tourist favorites like St. Mark's Square have been deluged since Tuesday, when Venice was hit with its worst flooding in 50 years. Water levels reached nearly 6 feet 1 inch above sea level. News and analysis at townhall.com. Nearly 394,000 Nissan vehicles in the U.S. are being recalled because a brake fluid leak could cause them to catch fire.
The recall covers the Murano SUV from 2015 through 2018 and Maxima sedans from 2016 through 18. Also included, Infiniti QX60 and Nissan Pathfinder SUVs from 17 through 19. The company urges owners to park the vehicles outdoors away from structures if the anti-lock brake light comes on for more than 10 seconds. Rich Thomason reporting.
Browns defensive end Myles Garrett's been suspended for at least the rest of the regular season and postseason by the NFL for swinging a helmet and striking Pittsburgh quarterback Mason Rudolph in the head. Garrett's outburst in the final seconds of the game against the Steelers landed him the longest suspension for a single on-field infraction in league history. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Got a lot to get through this hour. A little bit later on in the hour, we'll have on Ambassador Nikki Haley. She has a brand new book out. We will talk about that. We will also be getting to Elizabeth Warren, who has a new Medicare for All plan. See, she put out this Medicare for All plan. And it was a complete dud, like a giant fail, because she falsified the stats. It was obvious to everybody. It was unworkable. It was just a complete piece of garbage. And now she's going back and she's trying to rewrite it in real time, because she always has a plan, man. She always has a plan. But we begin with the latest from Impeachment Gate 2019. So the big story of the day, obviously, is that Democrats are claiming that President Trump is attempting witness intimidation. Like, this is their big story. It's ridiculous. I'm sorry. It is ridiculous on its face. Why? Well, because Marie Yovanovitch, who is the former ambassador to Ukraine, who Trump fired in May, she doesn't have any relation to any of the impeachment stuff that anybody is talking about right now, like no relation to it. Okay, but she's trying to establish the idea that Trump takes bad info from people and that this means that he is operating freelancing on his own behalf. So she testified that President Trump had targeted her because Donald Jr. and Fox News hosts and Rudy Giuliani were all feeding bad information to the President of the United States. Here's what Yovanovitch had to say, clip 16.
Was it Mr. Lutsenko, among others, who coordinated with Mr. Giuliani to peddle false accusations against you as well as the Bidens?
Yes, that is my understanding.
And were these smears also amplified by the President's son, Donald Trump Jr., as well as certain hosts on Fox?
Yes, that is the case.
Okay, so that was what Yovanovitch was brought in to say, like that line, right, which is that Trump was getting bad information from his people. But then Trump goes on Twitter, and he rips into Yovanovitch, and he starts tweeting about her, and talking about how she was a bad ambassador. Says everywhere Maria Ivanovich went turned bad. She started off in Somalia. How did that go? Then fast forward to Ukraine, where the new Ukrainian president spoke unfavorably about her in my second phone call with him. It is the president's absolute right to appoint ambassadors. They call it serving at the pleasure of the president. The U.S. now has a very strong and powerful foreign policy, much different than preceding administrations. It is called quite simply America First. With all of that, however, I have done far more for Ukraine than Obama. And the Democrats immediately jumped on Trump, tweeting about Ivanovich to suggest witness intimidation had taken place. So Adam Schiff asked Ivanovich whether she felt intimidated. This is clip 18. And Ivanovich said, yes, 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 this was all very intimidating.
Notwithstanding the fact that, as you testified earlier, the president implicitly threatened you in that call record, and now the president in real time is attacking you, what effect do you think that has on other witnesses' willingness to come forward and expose wrongdoing?
Well, it's very intimidating.
It's designed to intimidate, is it not?
I mean, I can't speak to what the president is trying to do, but I think the effect is to be intimidating.
Okay. So, yeah, no. I'm sorry, but no. The effect is to be intimidating? No. It's Trump doing what he always does. He's trash-talking. But because Democrats are in impeachment inquiry searching for an impeachable offense, they immediately start saying, well, this is witness intimidation, witness intimidation. Okay, all of this is incredibly dumb. Because they've moved in the last 5 minutes from bribery to witness intimidation. Right? Look how fast they swiveled. So as of yesterday morning, it was bribery, bribery, right? Nancy Pelosi said that Trump has already admitted to bribery. He admitted to being bribed and attempting a bribe. Well, no, he didn't. But here's Nancy Pelosi making that case.
You talked about bribery a second ago.
Yes, a bribery.
That's a very serious charge.
It is in the Constitution. Quid pro quo. Bribery. Bribery. And that is in the Constitution attached to the impeachment proceedings.
So what was the bribe here?
The bribe is to grant or withhold military assistance in return for a public statement of a fake investigation into the elections. But I am saying that what is the president has admitted to and says it's perfect, I said it's perfectly wrong. It's bribery.
Okay, it is not, in fact, bribery, because, again, she has not yet proved the elements of bribery, including an attempt, an intent to receive information that would damage Joe Biden specifically, as opposed to general anti-corruption and Ukraine concerns driven by vindictiveness over the 2016 election. Now, we actually know why Democrats are changing their language here. So they were saying quid pro quo until last week. Then they're like, oh, this isn't working. We got to change this thing up. And so instead, they decided to go with bribery. How do we know this? Well, because they actually poll tested it. According to the Washington Post, the shift came after the DCCC, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, conducted focus groups in key House battlegrounds in recent weeks, testing messages related to impeachment. Among the questions put to participants was whether quid pro quo, extortion, or bribery was a more compelling description of Trump's conduct. According to two people familiar with the results, the focus groups found bribery to be the most damning. The people spoke on the condition of anonymity because the results have not been made public. So that is why the Democrats are shifting their narrative messaging. Now, there is some bad news for the Trump administration today. So the fact is that the Trump administration and President Trump himself denied that he had a phone call with Ambassador Gordon Sondland, the EU ambassador, in which he spoke about investigations, at least beyond the phone call in which he told Sondland that there was no quid pro quo. Now, a second witness beyond Bill Taylor has come forward and suggested that the conversation took place. A second official, according to the Washington Post, was present when U.S. Ambassador to the EU, Gordon Sondland, spoke on a July 26th phone call from Ukraine with Trump that more directly ties the president to his administration's effort to pressure Ukraine's new leadership. So we're going to find out who that is, undoubtedly. Also, apparently, a career White House budget official is expected to break ranks and testify in the impeachment inquiry. This is somebody who's a career official, long predates President Trump. His name is Mark Sandy. He'll be the first OMB employee to testify in the inquiry after the OMB acting director, Russell Vaught, and two other political appointees defied congressional subpoenas to appear. Sandy's a career employee, so he wasn't actually appointed by President Trump. He's expected to testify during a closed-door deposition tomorrow. That's not open to the public, obviously. Until now, the OMB has had nothing to say about all of this. What exactly will he testify to? Well, according to the Washington Post, Sandy could provide insight into the process by which some $400 million in military and security aid to Ukraine was held up over the summer. Apparently, he raised questions about the holdup on the aid, and his role gave him responsibility for signing the documents required to hold it up. But there's no evidence that he ever had a conversation with President Trump about any of this. And again, that's pretty much what this whole thing comes down to. Meanwhile, the real danger to Trump doesn't come from a random OMB employee or an aide who overheard the wrong end of a conversation between Sundland and Trump. Didn't hear Trump say anything, just heard Sundland. Now, the real danger comes from Rudy Giuliani. Rudy Giuliani right now is under investigation. And we're going to get to that in 1 second. But first, let's talk about the fact that it is open enrollment season, and that means that you are looking into the possibility of getting life insurance through your employer. Good idea. Only one problem. The life insurance you get through your employer, very likely insufficient. In fact, most people need 10 times the life insurance coverage that they get through their jobs. That means your employer life insurance is probably leaving you underinsured. And this is where Policy Genius can help. Policy Genius is the easy way to shop for a life insurance plan that's not tied to your job. In minutes, you can compare quotes from top insurers and find your best price. Once you apply, the Policy Genius team will handle all the paperwork as well as the red tape. The life insurance you buy through Policy Genius stays with you, even if you leave your job. And Policy Genius doesn't just make it easy to get life insurance. They can also help you find the right home and auto insurance, disability insurance, too. Policy Genius, they really, it's a clean, clear process, and competition helps you get the best price. So, whether you're looking at your workplace benefits, whether you're looking at your life insurance options, or your disability insurance, or your auto insurance, or home insurance, well, you should be checking out PolicyGenius.com to get those quotes and apply in minutes. Policy Genius, the easy way to compare and buy life insurance, home insurance, auto insurance, disability insurance, one-stop shop for insurance. Okay, so Rudy Giuliani is the real danger. Why? Because Giuliani is the guy who's doing the down and dirty work in Ukraine and funneling information to Trump. What this really suggests is that there's a good shot that Rudy Giuliani is in serious legal peril, but that his legal peril doesn't really affect Trump. Why? Because if it turns out that Rudy Giuliani was acting as basically a paid operative, right, even without his knowledge, right, maybe he just dumbed into it, a paid operative of Ukrainian operatives, and funneling that information to Trump in good faith, and Trump acting on that information in good faith. The in good faith part is the part that matters. According to Bloomberg, Giuliani is being investigated by federal prosecutors for possible campaign finance violations and a failure to register as a foreign agent as part of an active investigation into his financial dealings, according to three U.S. officials. The probe of Giuliani, which one official said could also include possible charges on violating laws against bribing foreign officials or conspiracy, presents a serious threat to Trump's presidency from a man that former National Security Advisor John Bolton has called a hand grenade. Actually, I don't think this is true. Believe it or not, in terms of the politics of the situation, Giuliani being indicted for corruption is one of the better things to happen to Trump. Why? Because then all the focus goes on Giuliani. Another official says that Giuliani's activities raise counterintelligence concerns. Mimi Rocha, former federal prosecutor with the U.S. Attorney's Office for SDNY, says, quote, "I would not be surprised if he gets indicted. It's clear Giuliani is up to his ears in shady stuff, and there's tons of smoke." Giuliani is under investigation by the same attorney's office in Manhattan he once led. The office began to scrutinize his activities in Ukraine as prosecutors investigated two of his associates, Lev Parnas and Igor Fruman. The two were subsequently charged in the United States with illegally funneling hundreds of thousands of dollars to U.S. officials and a political action committee that backed Trump. Both these guys were working for Giuliani on matters related to Trump. Giuliani lawyers, the White House, they didn't respond to requests for comment. On Friday, the Wall Street Journal reported that federal prosecutors in New York were also investigating whether Giuliani would personally profit from a natural gas business and pipeline from Poland to Ukraine advanced by Parnas and Fruman. The two pitched the project to Ukrainian officials and energy executives and said it had the Trump administration's support. Giuliani said that he had no knowledge of this and he had no personal interest in any business in Ukraine. Now, the danger to Trump comes from the idea that if Trump were to cut ties with Giuliani and sort of let him flap there in the breeze, that maybe Giuliani would somehow come back to bite him. It's sort of like Michael Cohen. He was doing an interview with The Guardian, was Rudy Giuliani, and apparently he was asked by a journalist named Stephanie Kirchgeissner about whether he was nervous that Trump might cut him loose or throw him under the bus. Giuliani said, "I'm not, but I do have a very, very good insurance. So if he does, all my hospital bills will be paid." And then his lawyer, Robert Costello, interjected, "He's joking." Okay, but is he joking or is he not? Again, this whole investigation basically hinges on what Rudy Giuliani is going to say. Now, meanwhile, President Trump is trying to challenge New York prosecutors who are going after his tax records. He has asked the Supreme Court to stop a prosecutor's investigation of his personal finances. According to the Washington Post, this marks a new phase in the investigations that have dogged Trump. The case involves Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance's attempts to enforce a grand jury subpoena issued to the president's accountants for 8 years of Trump's tax records. Trump went to court to block the subpoena, making a broad claim that U.S. presidents are immune for investigation while in office. A district judge, a panel on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit, ruled against him. They said the subpoena was proper. The president's longtime accounting firm, Mazars USA, must comply with the order. That is likely the case, by the way. I think it's very doubtful that the Supreme Court of the United States says that the president is not subject to subpoena. It just probably says you can't prosecute him based on the subpoena while he is the president of the United States. Jay Sekulow wrote, for the first time in our nation's history, a state or local prosecutor has launched a criminal investigation of the president of the United States and subjected him to coercive criminal process. Yet a politically motivated subpoenas like this are a perfect illustration of why a sitting president should be categorically immune from state criminal process. But the rulings in the past have basically suggested that turning over tax records does not necessarily mean that the president will be prosecuted in the first place. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg had already commented on all this before 2016, so really she should recuse herself. She said, how has he gotten away with not turning over his tax returns? The press seems to be very gentle with him on that. And then later she said she shouldn't have commented on this publicly. Is she going to recuse herself? Of course not. The press is not going to push her to recuse. That's very silly. Alrighty, coming up, Elizabeth Warren has a brand new plan. Aren't you excited? She has so many plans. Plus, Twitter announces its actual ad policy. It doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense. We'll explain what Warren's plan is and what Twitter's plan is in just 1 second. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286. That's 1-800-469-0286.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now.
800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, Elizabeth Warren, she has a lot of crappy plans. I mean, just going to break it to you. I know. Bad news. Her plans, garbaggio. In fact, her Medicare for All plan was so bad that now she has come out with a fix on her Medicare for All plan. Really? According to the Washington Post, Senator Warren's campaign on Friday unveiled a transition phase. Aha. Because it turns out that her entire plan was unworkable. So now it has a transition phase. It would lead up to her broader Medicare for All plan with the goal of establishing less far-reaching changes before the country ultimately adopts a complete government-run health system. So basically, here's what she is doing. Before, she was saying, I'm just going to come in and get rid of all of your health care, and then I'm going to force you to get on Medicare, and then I'm going to cram down massive price reductions on doctors and health care providers, and I'm going to wreck the health care system. Just going to do it, like, boom, right off the gate. Now she says, you know what? I'm going to take a couple of years to wreck the health care system. She intends for the transition plan to pass Congress in her first 100 days via budget procedure. Right, through reconciliation, through budget reconciliation. She won't even pass a separate bill. It won't be a separate bill. Right, she'll just attach it as part of a budget procedure. It will give every American over the age of 50 the choice to enter an improved Medicare program. And it'll give every person in America the choice to get coverage through a true Medicare for All option. So she wants to do sort of Mayor Pete's Medicare for Those Who Want It plan, which is the first step toward a Medicare for All plan, as we already know. Because once you offer a Medicare for All Who Want It plan, then one of two things happens. Either people who can't get insurance get immediately tossed onto that. It becomes incredibly expensive. The government then has to subsidize it at record levels. And then they're going to have to start pushing people and mandating doctors. They'll have to mandate doctors take the Medicare payments. And then they're going to have to start pushing people off their private insurance plans because the risk pools are too segregated. If it's just old and sick people on one plan and everybody else on the other plan, then the prices on the old sick people plan are going to be exorbitant and crappy. And on the young, healthy people plan, the prices will be fine. Everything will be good. Right? Risk pools are the name of the game in medical insurance. And the only way for Medicare for All to work is for it to be for all. Okay, so she says she's going to transition everybody. She says that no later than her third year in office, she would fight to pass legislation that would complete the transition to full Medicare for All. So now she's admitting she's not going to do it, right? She says through budget reconciliation, she will do Medicare for some. And then she will push through legislation. Mm-hmm. Sure. And so that just never is going to happen, right? Now, what this really is going to, like, Pete Buttigieg is going to knock the stuffing out of her over this. And he should. He should say, listen, first you tried Bernie's plan. That failed. Now you're trying my plan. And that's going to fail for you, too, because you're dishonest. She's dishonest. And Buttigieg should just beat her up over this politically. As the Washington Post acknowledges, the transition plan is sure to ignite a new round of discussion about universal health care, and whether Warren can successfully ease concerns among some Democratic voters who worry that her healthcare blueprint is far too sweeping to appeal to general election voters. She could also face concerns from liberals that she is departing from the pure Medicare for All plan created by Bernie Sanders. Warren's attempts to walk this narrow path have proved difficult, threatening to mire her candidacy in the same territory that has caused problems for other candidates, like, for example, Kamala Harris. On his first full day of campaigning, Governor Deval Patrick, former governor of Massachusetts, who just jumped in, contrasted Warren's approach to healthcare with his own. He said, we kept learning as we went. He said, I think that's what's going to have to happen for any of the big solutions. I want us to have an ambitious agenda. I want that. But the means for getting there can vary. One person close to Warren's campaign said she had not expected Medicare for All to become such a critical issue in the presidential race, which means that she is delusional. In the winter, just after launching her presidential bid, Warren said her goal was affordable healthcare for every American and added there were different ways to get there. By the first presidential debate in June, she said she was with Bernie on Medicare for All. And then one person close to Warren said it wasn't really clear we were going to be spending the fall drilling down on the details of her healthcare plan. They wanted to make sure they were stapling themselves to Medicare for All, but it wasn't clear there were going to be much more to it than just advocating for Bernie's plan. But then she created her own bad plan. She got the blowback. And now she is saying, well, I'm just going to toss some of you off your plan for now. And then later I'll toss all of you off your plan. Man, I think her candidacy is flailing. I think that she's in some trouble here. And that's particularly true when you look at this wealth tax routine, which is just ugly. I've been discussing it all week. According to the Wall Street Journal, her wealth tax plan would actually create rates over 100% for some income. According to the Wall Street Journal, potential tax rates over 100% could result from the combination of tax increases that Warren proposes for the very top tier of investors. She wants to return the top income tax rate to 39.6% from 37%, impose a new 15% tax for Social Security, add an annual tax of up to 6% on accumulated wealth, and require rich investors to pay capital gains taxes at the same rates as other income, even if they don't sell their assets. That means that if you have a piece of stock and the stock appreciates 4%, she wants you to pay 40% of that 4%. She wants you to pay 1.6%, whatever that is. She wants you to pay nearly half of the 40% of that 4% without you selling your stock. So basically, she wants to have your profits in the stock market. Consider a billionaire with a $1,000 investment who earns a 6% return, or $60, received as capital gain, dividend, or interest. If all of Warren's taxes are implemented, he could owe 58.2% of that, $35 in federal tax. Plus, the entire investment, right, the entire $1,000 investment incurs a 6% wealth tax, which is $60. So taxes as high as $95 on income of $60 for a combined tax rate of 158%. You get it? Because the entire wealth base of the $1,000 investment is taxed at 6%. It earned a 6% return, and that is taxed at like 58.2%. So you're paying 158% on every dollar of income that you earn if you are invested in the stock market, if you're a billionaire under some circumstances. You think that might have some impact on investment patterns in the United States, such as people fleeing, people refusing to invest in the stock market? Especially because, again, she's going to assess you a wealth tax based on mark-to-market, based on the value of your stock, even if you haven't sold it. Her candidacy, if it doesn't crash and burn on these policy preferences, I don't know when it will. Coming up, Ambassador Nikki Haley joins us. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com. KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
This is Ted Leidy with the Northern Firearms Instruction Personal Protection Tip of the Day. If you have the ability to park in a garage or carport, do it. Criminals identify dark streets and alleys to target unsuspecting victims who are distracted with loading or unloading packages or children. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's the case, give us a call at NFI at 999-1822 or to find and register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses, visit us online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge with Brad Dacus.
As many members of mainline Christian denominations are now identifying as unaffiliated, many are celebrating the replacement of God worship with state worship. But folks, only 3% of Americans actually identify as atheist, while evangelical churches are growing.
Stay informed on religious freedoms. Receive our weekly email newsletter, The Legal Insider, at pji.org.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
KCNR is proud to announce that we're now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium, also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM, 6 p.m., North State Now.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations and former Republican Governor of South Carolina, Nikki Haley. She has a brand new book out called With All Due Respect, Defending America with Grit and Grace. As those of you who listen to my show regularly know, I called her in her role at the U.N. Ambassador, my spirit animal. Nikki Haley, thanks so much for joining the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hey, Ben. It's great to talk to you again.
Absolutely. So why don't we begin with talking a little bit about the news of the day, obviously. The impeachment move by Democrats continues apace. Their suggestion is that President Trump manipulated American foreign policy in Ukraine in order to benefit himself politically. What do you make of the accusation and the impeachment itself?
Well, I think that, you know, first of all, it's never a good practice for us to ask a foreign country to investigate an American citizen. I mean, I think that's the first thing, is it's not something that we want to get into the habit of. But what I look at is just the facts as we know it. And if you look at the facts and the transcript, and I know he's released another transcript, I mean, you've got a situation where two presidents are having a phone conversation. The one president, the new president of Ukraine, has campaigned and won on fighting corruption in Ukraine. So for them to be talking about an event that the president knows was related to corruption comes up, no investigation happened, the aid flowed anyway, there's no proof of any threat or demands or any sort of, you know, heavy-handed treatment. And so it's hard to see how this rises to the highest punishment possible of an elected official and saying that it's worthy of impeachment.
Now, Ambassador Haley, you know, many people have suggested that perhaps what a lot of this really is about, at least for many of the people testifying, is folks upset in the foreign policy establishment that President Trump wasn't working through sort of the established channels of foreign policy. Obviously, you were part of Trump's foreign policy team. How regular was it that President Trump would sort of speak to people outside the so-called chain of command and work in irregular ways because people in the foreign policy establishment, many of them were holdovers from prior administrations, for example?
Well, you know, first let me say I worked with many foreign service officials in the U.N. as well as at the U.S. mission to the U.N. as well as the State Department. And these are real patriots. I mean, they are they fight for their country. They do the right thing. And for the most part, they do not show any political bias. We would come across some when we came in that did show political bias that were trying to stop or derail some of the things that we were doing. But for the most part, these are really good professionals and experts in their field. I am not aware that the president would have come into contact with any foreign officials. He typically would have dealt with the Secretary of State or like me at the UN or the National Security Advisor, but it's not, every once in a while, I guess with an ambassador, he could come into play with, but it's not a regular occurrence.
I mean more Americans that he was using for outside sources of information as opposed to working through sort of the people who are his advisors. So in this particular case, obviously, he was talking to Rudy Giuliani a lot about Ukraine. Was that sort of a regular thing for him to take advice from the outside?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think he's on the phone all the time talking to different people about what they think. So, yes, that is something that he will do.
Now, speaking of Ukrainian policy, in your book, which really is fantastic, with all due respect, Defending America with Grit and Grace, you talk specifically about Ukrainian policy, and you point out the fact that you saw Ukrainian defense as a high priority for the United States. And the Trump administration, very early on, obviously took that tack, providing military aid to Ukraine, deadly military aid that the Obama administration had completely foregone. So what do you make of overall Ukrainian policy? What should the United States be doing there? And do you see, you know, the future of Ukrainian foreign aid as an important thing? Should we continue to provide foreign aid to Ukraine?
Well, I think the president rightly, you know, immediately sided with Ukraine when he came into office. And one of the first speeches I gave was in defense of Ukraine. I actually worked with the Ukrainian ambassador a lot. He was one of our closest allies on the Security Council. And, you know, the first thing we did was, you know, we gave those anti-tank missiles to Ukraine so they could defend themselves. We helped train their military. We did a lot of things that upset Russia, from, you know, increasing their sanctions, expelling their diplomats, increasing, you know, our military, increasing working with Ukraine. So we did a lot of things to lift up Ukraine and pressure Russia in the process. And I think Ukraine has tried to be a good friend to us ever since. Ukraine does have issues with corruption, and those are things they, like many other countries, have that, and we are trying to work with them as well on that. But, yes, I think we should always try and have the backs of Ukraine against any Russian resistance or Russian intrusion, and especially with them trying to, you know, take over occupation of Crimea and other ways they're trying to bully their way into Ukraine. I think we need to continue to have their back.
I have more questions for Ambassador Haley, but first, you remember that wonderful day when you were younger and you got those braces off and it was just a wonderful day? You went to school and everybody's like, oh, you look great. No more metal in your mouth. And then you let your teeth slip, didn't you? You took that retainer and you lost it and you never wore it again. And now your teeth have slipped out of place. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, I would like my teeth to be back where they were way back when. But do I really want to put the metal back on my teeth? I'm now 40. Like, is that a thing? Well, if it isn't the thing, you should check out Candid. Candid's aligners can help you straighten your teeth faster than traditional wire braces. Treatment takes just 6 months on average. An experienced orthodontist licensed in your state creates a custom treatment plan. Then they show you a 3D preview so you can see how your teeth will look after you're done. Candid's aligners are comfortable, removable, completely invisible. Candid will ship your aligners directly to you, so there's no hassle of going to an orthodontist's office. Plus, Candid costs 65% less than braces. With each aligner purchased, Candid will donate $25 to Smile Train. They bring safe, 100% free cleft lip and palate treatment to kids around the globe as well. So head on over to CandidCO.com/Ben. Use code Ben to get $75 off. That's CandidCO.com/Ben, code Ben, for $75 off. CandidCO.com/Ben, code Ben. Ambassador Haley, one of the ironies here is that Democrats have spent an awful lot of time ripping into the Trump administration. Of course, he served in the Trump administration as being somehow subservient to Russia, when the fact is that the Trump administration took a far stronger tack on Russia than the Obama administration ever did. And you hear the Democrats constantly complaining that President Trump is undermining our relationships with foreign allies, when he has stood strongly with foreign allies who are actually in the line of fire much more strongly than Democrats ever did.
Well, it's why the Democrats don't have much credibility. They might have an ounce of credibility if they hadn't been trying to impeach the president since day one. I mean, there is no president that's been harder on Russia. I mean, I saw it firsthand. I mean, every time Russia would do anything, we were putting sanctions. We were expelling diplomats. They never wanted us to strengthen our military and energy sectors. We did both of those, you know, by defending Ukraine. I mean, we were constantly sticking it to Russia, and they deserved it.
You know, the fact is that as the Democrats continue to push forward their own policy preferences, they seem to have switched sides on a lot of these issues, and I look forward to them switching sides again as soon as a Democrat is elected, either now or sometime in the future. I mean, it is pretty astonishing to watch them flip-flop on all of these issues. We're talking with Ambassador Nikki Haley. Her new book is, With All Due Respect, Defending America with Grit and Grace. Now, Ambassador Haley, you controversially made statements that there were people inside the Trump administration early on who were attempting to sort of thwart him on foreign policy. Now, I know enough people who are inside the Trump administration to know that this is true. I know that you got a lot of flack for this. But the fact is that there were people inside the Trump administration who were attempting to sort of curb Trump's ability to pursue foreign policy interests that they did not see as aligning with their own. I'm wondering if you can sort of expand on what you think the Trump doctrine was, what you think the foreign policy doctrine was of the Trump administration.
Well, I think that, you know, here he came in, and he came in as a disruptor. I mean, he came in the fact that he wasn't looking for the status quo. He wanted to get our voice back on the world stage with foreign policy. He wanted us to be strong, and he did those things. And so, you know, I think that what he encountered was resistance from the very beginning. I think what made it hard was he encountered resistance from his very own team. And, you know, I talk about that in the book from the standpoint of, you know, it was constant. And the things with John Kelly and Rex Tillerson that came out earlier in this week, and how they pulled me aside and asked me if I would join them in what they called saving our country, was the fact that they weren't saying that the president was unfit to hold office or that he was rogue. The real issue was, I mean, Rex very rarely agreed with the president. They didn't agree with us getting out of the Iran deal. They didn't agree with us moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. They didn't agree with us getting out of the Paris Climate Agreement. And the big issue is, you know, and they said that they weren't undermining the president when they would slow walk or not do these things. But, you know, first of all, you're undermining the American people who elected him. And my thought always was either go tell him what your differences are. He always heard me out. I never had issues of not being heard, or quit. It's that simple. You know, both of Rex and Kelly, I think they both were trying to serve the country. I think they're patriots. I think they were well-intentioned, but I think they were wrong. And, you know, what we did with foreign policy was sometimes not seen as the most diplomatic thing, but we did things that needed to be done. Getting out of the Iran deal was important. Making sure we fought back on chemical weapons in Syria. Making sure we had the backs of Ukraine and fighting off Russia. All of these things, you know, taking on Iran in a big way, they were all really important at the time, and we didn't need to have a soft hand in the way we were handling foreign policy.
Ambassador Haley, looking at some of the foreign policy issues that are on the table right now, and by the way, her new book is called With All Due Respect, Defending America with Grit and Grace. Ambassador Haley, you look at a couple of the big foreign policy issues that are on the map right now, and I wanted to get your opinion on them. One is obviously this ongoing conflict in the Middle East between terrorist groups and Israel. You've seen members of the Democratic Party, including Bernie Sanders, suggest that aid should be cut off to Israel to be handed to the Gaza Strip, which is currently run by one terrorist group, which is in conflict with another terrorist group, Hamas, with Islamic Jihad. Israel has come under fire just this last week, 150 rockets being fired from the Gaza Strip into civilian areas in Israel, randomly and without any attempt to target even military installations. And at the exact same time that this is happening, you have the European Union declaring that they are going to label all Jewish products from Judea and Samaria as from Palestine or from the West Bank. It's pretty astonishing. I wonder how you think that the United States should deal with Israel in terms of its foreign policy in the future as the Democratic Party moves ever to the left.
Well, I mean, I made it really clear when I was at the UN. It was highly offensive to see how so many countries treated Israel. And, you know, I will continue to say they are the one bright spot in a really tough neighborhood and surrounded by threats. But, you know, they believe in democracy. They share our values. We should have their back. And it is in America's best interest to defend and fight for Israel, because if Israel is successful, the Middle East will be a more peaceful place. And, you know, it was frustrating because I think what you're seeing now with the strikes happening between Israel and Gaza is, you know, Israel is trying to, and they took out a major terrorist that has been causing, that had been threatening Israel for a long time, and Gaza is now returning fire in that. The problem is the Europeans, they continue to side with the Palestinians, but I saw this with the Iran deal. Here you've got money flowing from Iran to these terrorist surrogates, and it's making the entire world more dangerous. And so when you look at that, the Europeans need to see the Iran deal for what it is, because it is funding money so that they can pay for Hamas in Gaza. They pay for Hezbollah in Lebanon. They pay for the Houthis in Yemen. They're causing trouble in Syria and Afghanistan and Iraq. And so for them to be doing this in Gaza, too, this is one more where we don't need to be the only country defending Israel. We need to have other countries defending Israel as well. And, you know, it's a really bad habit. at the UN, but it's a real bad habit globally that more people don't stand up for Israel. And I'm convinced it's because they see how strong Israel is. They believe Israel can defend itself, and it can. But I think it's high time that Israel start to have some friends that are helping them along the way as well. And so that's why the United States needs to always have a strong voice for Israel and always have their back and challenge those that don't.
Well, Ambassador Nikki Haley, her brand new book is With All Due Respect, Defending America with Grit and Grace. Ambassador Haley, thanks so much for your time. Thanks for the wonderful book, and continue to do all you're doing. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much, and hope your listeners will go to NikkiHaleyBook.com to see our 15-city book tour, and we get to see them around the country soon.
Well, if you get an opportunity to go see Ambassador Haley, definitely go check that out. All righty, coming up, we're going to be doing a little bit of Bible talk first. Did you know you can watch all 3 hours of The Ben Shapiro Show? You can. You have to be a Daily Wire premium subscriber. How can you accomplish this? Head on over to DailyWire.com, click on the subscribe button at the top of the page. Daily Wire premium subscribers are the only people who can watch all 3 hours of the show every day on demand. Plus, as part of a limited time offer, you get the exclusive Leftist Tears Tumblr. So exclusive, so tears. Coffee, tea, whatever it is you're into, you can drink all of them, hot or cold. It is fantastic. Go to DailyWire.com, click on the subscribe button at the top of the page, and go make the magic happen. Again, head on over to DailyWire.com, click on the subscribe button at the top of the page, and you will certainly enjoy the results. Alrighty, coming up, it's a Friday, and it's been a busy week, so I feel like we should take a moment out and talk about the fundamentals of Western civilization, do a little bit of Bible talk. We've been doing that every week here on The Ben Shapiro Show. This week is no exception. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286.
There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286. That's 1-800-469-0286.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
border or checks and balances or even undermining their own credibility. They're also interested in undermining basic logic and human language. Let me give you an example of how we can never have a conversation again. This was a piece published on the front page of the Washington Post. The piece was titled, "To Some, This Queer Couple Looks Straight. For him, that's okay. For her, it feels like a lie." Again, this was published on the first page of the Washington Post website by Samantha Schmidt and Forrest Milbourne. What you're about to hear is an insane language that makes no logical sense. There's no common standard, no logical sense, no internal structure. Hey, here we go. When Kate Murray and Andy Arnold first started dating in their early 20s, they were part of a tight-knit group of lesbian friends in the district. The couple and their friends hung out almost every weekend, organizing potluck dinners and frequenting ladies' nights at local gay bars. Then, about 2 years ago, Andy came out as a transgender man. And as he transitioned with Kate's support, the couple suddenly felt they no longer belonged in the women-centric spaces they were used to. They tried testing out a new group of friends, a blank slate, a group in which Andy wouldn't have to talk about his trans identity, he said. He could just blend in as a man. To the new friends, they were just Andy and Kate, a man dating a woman. And that was just how Andy liked it. But to Kate, it felt like a lie. She wanted to express her queer identity, she said, but how could she do that without making Andy uncomfortable? Okay, so we have two conflicts of vision here. And the one vision, you have a lesbian who wants to be known as a lesbian because she feels like it's a part of her identity to be a lesbian. And she's dating a biological woman. So that would seem to fit the criteria. On the other hand, we have a society in the media that suggests that if a biological woman has surgeries and hormone treatments and believes that she is a man, that she is now a man, which means that the formerly lesbian woman is actually straight because she is a lesbian. She's a woman who is dating a man, right? So by biological definition, Kate is right. So who's intolerant? Is Kate intolerant because Kate doesn't consider Andy an actual man? Or is Andy intolerant because he doesn't consider Kate an actual lesbian? Which one is it? The Washington Post answer, society is intolerant, right? So it's you. You're reading the story. We are intolerant, okay? For the couple who are now engaged to be married, there are no clear answers to this, Andy said. No matter how much I want to separate my trans identity from who I am, I can't. I can't separate it from my relationship with Kate because she's a queer woman. It's a daily dance we navigate. This tension is a daily reality for many queer couples who feel the way others perceive them is at odds with who they really are. That's the sentence right there. And then the article talks about how Andy is quote-unquote passing, but Andy isn't really passing because Andy is a man. Or is Andy a man? Unclear. Right? Andy says, I want to be seen as the sacrifice of Isaac. And commentators throughout history who hate religion have suggested that this is barbaric and cruel. Obviously, God telling Abraham to sacrifice his own son is a cruel thing to do, incredibly cruel. Okay, the problem is that if you actually look at the text, that's not actually what's going on. If you look at the text, what you see is that God says that he is going to, God says to Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, and I want you to take him up to a place that I'm going to show you, and there I want you to sacrifice him. Now, he doesn't say I want you to kill him. He says I want you to sacrifice him. Okay, so Abraham doesn't question. Abraham says, Hineni, I'm here. And then he just goes ahead and he takes Isaac with him. And so the question is, what exactly was going on in Abraham's head? Why exactly wasn't he fighting all of this? Right? Why did, like, you see, Abraham throughout the Bible is fighting back against God on these sorts of things. Right? When God says he wants to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham is the one saying, well, how many innocent people are over there? Do you really want to do that? And God says, okay, well, if you can find a certain number of innocent people, then I won't do it. But if you can't find that number of innocent people, then I'm going to go ahead and do it, right? So God negotiates with Abraham. He doesn't say to Abraham, you're not allowed to ask these questions. So why exactly doesn't Abraham actually ask the question? Why doesn't Abraham say, well, you're asking me to do something that cuts against everything that you have said that you stand for, right? Human sacrifice, which is a big no-no in the Bible. A big no-no in the Bible. Well, what exactly is Abraham thinking? Well, it becomes kind of clear When he talks to his servants. He says, stay here with the donkeys. The boy and I will go over there. We'll pray, and then we'll come back to you. Is he lying to his servants when he says that? Or is he expressing faith that God is not actually going to ask him to kill Isaac? Right? So was Abraham lying? I don't think so. I think that in the time that Abraham was conveying Isaac to Har Hamoriah, which, by the way, in Jewish tradition, is the Temple Mount. And when he was doing this, Abraham came to a realization. God wasn't ordering him to slay his son. He was ordering him to sacrifice his son. He was ordering him to offer his son, right? And what does that mean, to offer his son? Well, what it means is that every time you have a kid, you have to decide what values you want your kid to have. And there are certain values that in today's society make your kid more susceptible to danger. And this has been true throughout history. It's particularly true for Jews, but it's been true for Christians. It's been true for anybody who stands for a particular value system. What values do you inculcate in your kids? We live in a time when we are supposed to inculcate no values in our kids. By no values, the secular left means secular left values. You're supposed to let your five-year-old choose their gender. You're supposed to let your five-year-old choose their morality. The Rousseauian Emile version of life is supposed to apply. But that's not how parents do things. And one of the things you take into account is, should I teach my kids things that make life more difficult because they are the principal things to do, that put my kids in more danger? And this has been a very real life and death struggle for a lot of Jews over the course of time, particularly, right? Because why would you raise your kid Jewish if you know that your kid is going to be targeted? What God is saying to Abraham is, you have to be willing to not only act out my will in your life, you have to be willing to teach your children eternal true values, even if it means that it puts them in harm's way. Now, Abraham had faith that God would not end up requiring him to...
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. The second day of the Democrats' impeachment inquiry included a terse exchange between House Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff and Ohio Republican Jim Jordan as he tried to clarify a question for former Ukraine Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch.
I have indulged you with extra time, but
I appreciate
my indulgence is wearing out.
I appreciate it.
There is a question.
Our indulgence wore out with you a long time ago, Mr. Chairman.
I'll tell you that. But I'm about to gavel you down, so if you have a question, I suggest you.
I'm asking her, do you think there's maybe a reason that this was that President Trump's concern was justified?
Meanwhile, President Donald Trump took to social media to criticize Ms. Yovanovitch. At a post-hearing press conference, New York Republican Elise Stefanik says, on a scale of importance, the tweets don't measure up as a constitutional issue.
When we're talking about impeachment, we are talking about impeachable offenses. You can disagree or agree with the tweet. I happen to disagree with the tweet. But again, as we know, the Democrats want to continue making this a political food fight. They are going about this in a partisan way. This is a very serious matter when we're talking about impeachment. This is a constitutional matter. It's not about tweets.
President Trump is celebrating Friday's Wall Street records.
The president took time in an Oval Office event Friday to mark the new records.
We're very proud of what's happened with our economy. A few months ago, you were predicting a recession. Perhaps someday there'll be a recession, but we have a long way to go. The consumer has never been stronger.
The records were important thresholds. The S&P above 3,100 for the first time by 20 points. The Dow above 28,000 by 5. And the NASDAQ is now at 85.41. George Bonzani reporting.
A 16-year-old boy who shot 5 fellow students, killing 2 before turning the gun on himself, the Southern California High School has died. The Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department says Nathaniel Burhau died at about 3:30 p.m. Friday afternoon at a hospital with his mother present. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Sebastian Gorka here. Maybe you've been hearing about Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that helps a person's body deal with inflammation and pain. You've heard all the wonderful testimonials. Well, I have my own testimonial. For many years, my lower back pain was becoming a serious problem. The short story is, I finally gave it a try, and now I'm out of pain too. So if you're in pain, you can order the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com.
Trade Pros. Whether you specialize in service or new construction, Ferguson knows firsthand how much work goes into a long day on the job, which is why we're committed to offering the products and solutions to get every job done right. With over 1,000 locations, an unmatched selection of specialty products, tools, and supplies, our pro pickup and same or next day delivery, you can trust that doing business with Ferguson will be the easiest part of your hard day's work. Visit Ferguson.com to find a counter location near you.
A survey of 1,000 adults between the ages of 50 to 64 found almost half believed that they were likely to develop dementia, but suggest many didn't understand the connection between physical health and brain health.
Many of those surveyed who rated their health as fair or poor thought their dementia chances were low, while many who said they were in excellent health felt they were likely to develop the disease. Research has shown that exercise and a good diet make dementia less likely. Rigorous mental stimulation may also help. But there are also unproven tactics like taking supplements and doing crossword puzzles. The study was published online Friday in JAMA Neurology. I'm Shirley Antler.
Motorola going forward by reaching for the past, adapting its historical flip phone design for a smartphone with a foldable screen. Motorola's new Razr phone will launch in the U.S. in January at a starting price of $1,500. News and analysis at townhall.com. Twitter is detailing its ban on political ads.
Admitting this is not perfect, Twitter says appeals for votes, solicitations for campaigns, contributions, and any political content will be untweeted. The ban also covers all ads, even non-political ones, from candidates, political parties, and elected or appointed government officials. What will be allowed is ads connected to political causes. Gun control, abortion, climate change are examples. News organizations will be exempt so they can promote stories that cover political issues. Twitter is taking a stricter approach compared to Facebook, which says it will not intervene when politicians speak, no matter what they're saying. I'm Ed Donahue.
A federal judge has dismissed a lawsuit by the owners of Maximum Security seeking to challenge the decision to disqualify their horse as the winner of the Kentucky Derby. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. Also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 6 p.m., North State Now.
Did I hear you correctly say that perhaps he was influenced by Gergel?
Yes. It's an oldie, but it's a goldie, isn't it? It's just perfect. It says it all. It says everything you need to know. Another day in our nation's capital, another kangaroo court. Another State Department official on Capitol Hill with another Eastern European name. What is it with the Democrats and the former Soviet Union? But I want to know. Somebody answer that for me? Good Friday to you and welcome. A lot of things buzzing around town and around the country. Phony baloney impeachment continues. ABC analyst apologizing to a Republican member of Congress for his sexist, bigoted... He's fine, though. He's not going to be fired, really, because, you know, she's a Republican member of Congress, and she's very bright, and she did a great job in the hearing day before yesterday. And so, naturally, ABC News wonks are attacking her and smearing, oh, this is what happens when you just vote for people because of their gender, which is, of course, a Democrat Party thing. It's a ritual with them. It's, you know, minorities and gender and all that, because then you can't be critical of anybody if they're, gender, transgender, or a woman of color, a person of color. Of course, that's the game that the Democrats play. But when you're a Republican woman, is she a woman of color? I'm not sure if Elise Stefanik is a woman of color. She should claim to be a woman of color anyway. She has a nice pallor about her. She should claim to be a woman of color so that they'll fire Matthew Dowd from ABC. But they won't fire Matthew Dowd from ABC because she is a Republican woman, member of Congress. And you can smear and slime and slander Republican women all you want. These are the rules. This is how it goes. We see it again and again and again. And again, we have on Capitol Hill another silly thing going on up there today, and it will lead nowhere, but we are expecting her to cry. We're expecting the ambassador to cry. They're all ambassadors. Everybody's an ambassador. It's like everybody gets a trophy. They're all ambassadors. You don't even have to be the ambassador, and they call you ambassador. Now, we got this going on up on Capitol Hill, and it's going to be a small amount of fun anyway. Bug-eyed Adam Schiffless is presiding. He's the chief kangaroo, the head kangaroo in charge. The, you know, that's the H-K-I-C, I think is what he is. And I'm just concerned that his eyes are going to pop out of his head if he, like if he takes a deep breath or something, when his eyelids are up, they could pop out like he's Chumley the Poodle. And we don't want to see that. Actually, we might want to see that. It could be kind of fun. But the 9 a.m. hearing, it's very exciting. And Congress, they're all in their places with bright, shining faces. And this, you know, Yavanovitch, whatever the, she's, why are they all Russians? Why do they all have these Russian names? And because Ukraine, you know, Ukraine. They're up to their eyeballs in Ukraine. And Schiff, he's up to his eyeballs in, I don't know, blood pressure or something like that. Looks crazy. But this is going to be fun. It's going to go nowhere. But we're, you know, because the news media found out that because the Democrats told her that the news media, that she cried, the ambassador, she cried in the closed door audition. See, and they got somebody else auditioning today, too. That, you know, yet we were hearing about the staffer that overheard from the Ambassador Taylor a couple of days ago, or Ambassador Miller, as they call him on MSNBC, when the Reverend Al is talking. And she cried. She cried when she was in the audition. And they're like, oh, this is good. She's gold. And they, I think you get on to the next phase. It's like Dancing with the Stars. And she goes on to the next phase. And today is the next phase, and it's live TV, and everyone's very excited. Are the networks blocking out their soap operas and game shows again today to carry the Democrat Party's TV show? I sure hope they are, because I want people to see this crap that these people are slinging at the American people. This woman... She looks like a Russian agent. I think she might be an asset. She might be a Russian asset. I'm not 100% sure, but I think she might be. And she's supposed to cry. This is her role today. She's supposed to become emotional or emotionally unbalanced, and she's supposed to shed tears. And which is, as Ainsley Earhart pointed out this morning, incredibly sexist, of course. They didn't bring in the gray-haired man and the bow-tie guy to cry. Don't they want to cry? Wasn't the president mean to them, too, or was he just mean to the girl? And the news media, they're still pretending that it was a big day before yesterday. Oh, big stuff. And then Donnie Douche on the Pigeon Sisters, DNC TV this morning, very excited. He's a marketing guy, imaging guy, you know, and he's got a fondness for the real young girls, too. But we'll leave that out of the discussion until that's exposed later on. Is like Mark Halperin. They used to sit there with Mark Halperin, and that was all okay. Now, Donnie Douche today, he was saying that he's really glad that Pelosi has clarified that it's bribery they're pursuing. Because people can understand that. People, you know, dumb people, like his girlfriends, they can understand bribery because that's a word that is associated with a crime, unlike quid pro quo, which he said people can't understand. Also, there's no crime called quid pro quo, so it's pretty stupid stuff. The whole thing has been stupid. And once again, the Democrats, they're moving the goalposts, which is what they do. You know, there's Russian collusion, then there was obstruction, then there was the Ukrainian phone call, then there was it was quid pro quo, then it was extortion. Now they've apparently kind of settled on bribery. And the way Pelosi explains it, she herself blows up her own stupid argument. And it's amazing. Well, it's a bribe because he asked for something that he didn't get in exchange for doing something that they didn't do. And it's just these people are dumb and dishonest and dumb. And so we've, you know, and they're the leadership of the Democrat Party in Washington, D.C. and the United States of America. Where do we find such men? That's something that we've got to ask, I think. And Pelosi, too. But we haven't checked, so we're not really sure. She could be, and, you know, they're a little malleable when it comes to the gender thing. So calling her a man might be a compliment at this point. Not 100% sure. And again, they have this other guy named David Holmes, no relation. And he is the guy, remember Ambassador Taylor was talking a couple of days ago, where and it was one of the more ridiculous lines from day before yesterday. He's auditioning today for the TV phase of the thing. And the Democrats have invited David Holmes, and he is the Ambassador Taylor staffer who was in a restaurant when Ambassador Sondland took a phone call from President Trump. And when the phone call wrapped up, and he said he overheard the phone call in the restaurant, meaning what? Well, we don't know. He overheard one side of the phone call, right? Is that right? See, then MSNBC was like, that was an unsecure line. He can't talk about things on an unsecure line. They're very concerned about national security, except when it comes to Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and any Democrat. So they ginned up another fake story. That's an unsecure line. Yeah, president calls people all the time. Not everybody has a secure line out there. I don't know if you're familiar with the world, you know, Earth, humanity, the United States government, how things work, apparently not. But they tried to gin. So that could be illegal to talk about. Is it classified? Again, Hillary's classified emails by the hundreds, no problem at all. But now they tried to gin this up into something. Anyway, this guy, David Holmes, it turns out, is the guy who was sitting at the restaurant with Ambassador Sondland. And then when Sondland got off the phone, he said, what did he want? What did he want? Rubbing his greasy little hands together. And Sondland reportedly, according to David Holmes, who told this to Ambassador Bill Taylor, he said he's real interested in the Biden investigation. Okay. Well, that's in the transcript of the phone call that was released. So there's nothing new there. So what are you guys hanging your kufis on today? Your turbans? What is the matter with you people? You realize you're mental, don't you? You realize you're having a breakdown and there's nobody close to you that is telling you. You don't have good friends or wives or husbands or whatever because they should be telling you that you're mental, that you're like what you're doing is lunacy. You're not what you used to be. So in any event, David Holmes is being invited in because he didn't have a phone call with the president, but he was in the room when someone else did. This is the level we're operating at here. And they're bringing him in not for open hearing because he's got to audition first behind closed doors where Schiffless and his creepy friends can, you know, shut down the Republicans if they have any questions. I almost hope that they vote to impeach in the House of Representatives and that it goes over to the Senate where Republicans are in charge, where they hold a huge trial that goes on for weeks and weeks where the Republicans are in charge and they invite all of the witnesses and they adopt the same rules that Adam Schiffless is using, which the news media will be outraged by and they'll be bitter about it and say, they're just doing it because Schiff did it. And then the Republicans can say, yes. And the news media will say, but that's an outrage. You can't do it that way. It's un-American. after saying it's just fine during the shift thing. And then the Republicans will not allow the Democrats to invite. They've already had all their witnesses anyway, and they won't allow. And just go by the same rules. And then when they ask questions, shut them down. And just torture their, just spend all day torturing their witnesses and ripping them to shreds. It'll be a lot of fun. It'll be fun for the whole family. And then the funny thing is the Republicans get the last word. Of course they don't because the news media is so corrupt that at 6:30 p.m. when the evening news broadcasts come on across the country, the Democrats in the media corrupt everything. But in any case, I'm just there. It's like fantasy impeachment league, something like that. Great stuff. By the way, President Trump and the Trump campaign raised more than $3 million on impeachment day from small donations. $3.1 million, a barn burner of a day when it comes to fundraising.